Good morning. Welcome to the sixth and final Legislative Commission subcommittee to study water. First order of business will the secretary please call the roll?
Senator Ford?
Here.
Senator Hardy?
Here.
Assemblywoman Carlton?
Here.
Vice Chair Oscarson?
Here.
Chair Goycochea?
Here. Thank you, Madam Secretary. Just a little housekeeping. Be sure to turn your cell phones and noise-making devices off. Mine will be the first to go off, I promise you. So even though I think I got it off, I'm not very techie. As you testify, push the button on the mic. Again, I apologize. Everyone will have to testify through this chambers in public comment. If you have any written comments, if it's going to be longer than the 3 minutes, please submit them to the secretary, and they will be incorporated in the record. You need to understand that. Sign-in sheet, and I think most of you have found it, looking at the, we've got a book here of people that signed in. We will be taking a short lunch break. I assume it'll be someplace about the time we get through the public comment, the way it looks. I am, you know, cognizant of the fact that, again, our committee has to fly south tonight. Most of them will have to be out of this room by 5 o'clock or a little before. So, again, you might end up, if the public comment goes much beyond that, you will be testifying to me and staff. So I want you to be aware of that. It isn't that the committee doesn't care. It's but the bottom line, they do have some constraints, and I'll be honest with you, after about 8 hours, we're probably going to get a little bit brain dead. So if we aren't already, some of you will say we already are. So with that, I would like to introduce the committee and the staff. Of course, I'm Senator Pete Goycochea. I represent Eastern Nevada, Senate District 19, and I am a rural. Also, we have on the committee, go ahead, Mr. Ford, if you would like to.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Senator Aaron Ford. I represent a portion of Las Vegas and southwest part of Las Vegas. Been at every committee meeting with the exception of one, but I've been paying very close attention to what we're talking about and looking forward to today's deliberation. Thank you.
And I think the classic comment was by Mr. Ford, and I believe it was in Dyer, when you said, this ain't going to be easy, and no truer words were said. You know, we've had, we had five committees meetings all across the state, and we realize what we're up against, but I'm glad to see this turnout here today because it shows you people are interested, and apparently you think we're okay, but if we're looking for solutions. All right, then, that sounds to me then like, and I will tell the group here one thing. There will be no outburst because if it does happen, I will clear this room and you can go out, sit outside. This meeting is now in order, and that's it. It's over with. And you can come in four at a time if you aren't careful. So we don't accept public outbursts. We have a little different rules here than we do at a normal public, open public hearing that you would have in your own community. Again, no outbursts. Thank you. Mr. Hardy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Joe Hardy, born in Reno, currently living in Boulder City the last 34 years, family doctor and state senator, and interested in water, obviously, because our bodies are made up of it. Thank you.
Ms. Carlton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Assemblywoman Maggie Carlton. I was first elected to the legislature in 1998, and I've chaired public lands, chaired natural resources, been on the money committee, been around a little too long, some people would say, but I'm enjoying it. And I want to take a moment of personal privilege to thank the chairman and the vice chair both. They've taken on a very, very tough issue. I've been through water issues before in this legislature with former Assemblywoman Marcia DeBraga, and we worked very, very hard on those issues. We have an excellent opportunity today to do some real good for the state as far as water is concerned, and it takes guts to take this on. And I just want to thank the chair, the staff, the vice chair, and Senator Ford for all being willing to sit here in front of you and take this issue on for the good of the state. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Oscarson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm James Oscarson. I represent Assembly District 36. Mostly rural, about 26,000 square miles, have truly learned and garnered from not only the chair's wisdom and knowledge of this very important issue to our state and to our areas, but also represent one of the basins that certainly has some challenges right now. So looking forward to participating, looking forward to the dialogue we're going to have today and come forth with some good solutions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Oskerson. And then we have our staff, Elisa Keller. She serves as our policy analyst, and she's actually the one that makes some sense out of the recommendations and stuff that have come forward over the last 4 or 5 months. We have our legal team, Heidi Clarston and Aaron Ruha, sitting there with us. And, again, they advise us as far as LCB's opinion on the questions we have. And then also we have our very capable committee secretary, and she is the one that will throw you out, so Natalie Peretti. And so, again, I do ask you to, please adhere to the rules of the legislature. And, again, there will be no applause, even though you might enjoy the hell out of the remarks and want to throw something at us. Bottom line is we don't allow it. So with that, I do have a few personal comments I want to open this with. And, again, this is our sixth meeting. We met twice in Vegas, Winnemucca, Dyer, Pahrump, and now we're here in Carson. This Carson meeting is predominantly a work session to go back through all the recommendations we received in the other five meetings. And I know there's a lot of you people here that are thinking that, hey, there's a BDR, we're going to adopt something. Again, we're going through this book, which is recommendations that have come from all over the state, various whether it be water purveyors, domestic well holders, the state engineer, ag water holders, just all across the state. And there are recommendations to us. That's the intent today, this afternoon. We will go through these recommendations and consider if there are any, all, or none that consider merit being brought forward. I know most of you people are here in the room under the assumption that there was a BDR and there's a proposal that says we're going to a half-acre feed and a meter. Again, that's one of the recommendations that also I believe that, there are recommendations for full-blown moratoriums. Again, the committee has to deal with those. A lot of this is maybe just a little bit ahead of the horse. Bottom line is there could be something come out of this committee this afternoon. Again, if it does, it could be brought forward as a BDR. Then it would go to the legislature and the legislative process next year, starting next February, and then the bottom line, if it was passed there, and depend on what it looked like, it well could go into effect sometime in 17. Again, I am tickled to death to see the response from the people here, because it does show you care. And my question to you, as you come forward with your 3 minutes on the public comment, I'd first like to hear from you. Do you think we can continue the way we're going? And I think it's critical. I'm third generation Nevada rancher. I am very concerned about, we've got 20% of our basins are overappropriated today. That's 59 out of the 258 basins in the state. It's not a good path we're following. I think we need to at least look at where we're going, some water conservation measures. And again, I'm not saying that we can balance the state's water budget on the backs of the domestic wells. There's 55,000 of them, probably 100,000 acre feet of combined use statewide in domestics. That's not going to balance this water budget. I've said that. So, again, this is not a witch hunt, but I do believe, and I would like to hear from you, and I think the committee would love to hear from you as you come forward. We're looking for a solution. What are we going to do? I think if we continue another couple of decades, we could be very similar to what we have in California, and where they bring your water in a tank. And Kingman, Arizona, folks, I don't know how many people are aware that in Kingman, they haul your drinking water to you if you've got a domestic, if you're not fortunate enough to have $1 million to drill a 3,000-foot hole. So, folks, that's what you're here for. That's what we're here for. Let's hear if there is some solutions that we can deal with. Again, there's a big difference. 99% of the basins in this state today probably are not in trouble, especially when it deals with domestics. We got 2,000 in the Truckee Meadows, approximately, here in Carson, maybe 4,000 wells. Las Vegas has less than 6,000 domestic wells. So the bottom line is, and of course we know we have an issue in Pahrump. I represent Pahrump. I was down in Pahrump in early August at an open mic trying to explain where we were going, and if there was any solution. So, again, the domestic wells, and I said when we started this committee, if we can get some resolution when it, as it deals with domestic and conservation water rights, it would be an interim well stamp, you know, because I think the key is conservation. And again, I know we're going to have to deal with some of these problem basins. And I want to do it before we end up with, looking at my notes, I misquoted, I guess 56 of the 256 are over-appropriated. But we can't continue down this path of just appropriating water because we've got a number and we want a fee. Bottom line is we have to make sure that water's there, it's wet, or we will run out of water. With that, I've rambled on enough. I'm looking for the input from you, the community. And again, I hope we can get through this so we can actually get to the meat of the recommendations sometime this afternoon. This committee does have 5 BDRs. I assume we might see 2 or 3 come out of it. And again, you have to understand the state engineer also has already submitted 3 BDRs. And again, we have no bearing, don't know what they'll say. Even our legal counsel won't tell us because it's proprietary information. So, but just because it's before this committee isn't the only bills that will be coming forward. And with that, I'm going to close, and we'll move into the public comment. I've explained the ground rules. Please get 4 speakers up here at a time because time is going to be critical. Anybody that wants to speak, keep the chairs full. We'll rotate through. Lights are right here, but Alyssa will be the one that tells you. Natalie will be the one that throws you out. So with that, please proceed. I'd like to introduce our colleague, Assemblyman Hansen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Assemblyman Ira Hansen, District 32, which includes all of Esmeralda, Mineral, Lander, Pershing, Humboldt, most of Washoe, and a large section of Nye County. I am here today. I'm also a well owner myself, so I'm on a well. So lots of interest in this. I have to say, other than gun issues, I don't think I've ever had more personal contacts, emails, letters, than this issue on domestic wells. The clear concern is somewhere in all of this, there is a recommendation to cut use back to half acre foot and limit it only to interior home usage. For folks, most of the people behind me, I'm sure that means their landscape dies, their trees die, and that's what got everybody up. I would bet 99% of the people in the overflow rooms in these are on that specific issue. So I would be absolutely remiss if I didn't show up here today to represent the 65,000 people in my district. I don't know how many thousands of them are domestic well users, but I'll bet a lot of them, including myself. So my recommendation would be, if you have a specific basin, Pahrump, for example, and you need to have targeted legislation for meters or whatever, limit it to those areas. To go and just do a blanket thing across the state, especially with the idea that you could, by the stroke of a legislative pen, eliminate the ability for people to keep their landscaping. You know, you're talking total loss of property values in the hundreds of millions of dollars, potentially. My own landscaping would all die, trees and grass and everything else, and the value of my property would plummet. So I'm here today specifically on that topic. And that is that the people that had contacted me, and I'm talking in the hundreds now, as these overflow rooms clearly indicate, are really worried that they're going to lose the ability to maintain their yards, their landscaping, and to have a reasonable amount of usage. To limit them to a half an acre foot of water is, frankly, ridiculously small. I mean, you can barely get, that's I don't even know if that would cover domestic use in your home. One thing that isn't, I think we got to keep in mind too, any water that's used in my house, for example, that comes out of my well, that's used in the house, goes back into the septic system and then percolates back into the aquifer. So a lot of the water that domestic wells are using are in fact ultimately recycling back into the same aquifer that they're being pumped from. So, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I salute you. It's a difficult topic. You know, Mark Twain's famous quip that everybody hears about water and whiskey and so forth. That definitely is playing out here. So I would strongly urge you on behalf of the people in my district to be very, very careful in treading on the usage of meters or limiting any usage of domestic wells. All these folks have had their properties purchased with that understanding. So, Mr. Chair, thank you very much for allowing me this opportunity.
Thank you, sir, and time to spare. Again, no applause. If one more time, folks, and I will clear the room. Now, that's it. Do you understand? We don't applaud any speaker, any comment. If you want to leave, just do it one more time. I will clear the room and we'll bring in four at a time. Thank you. Go ahead, please.
Okay, Don Ault, Lyon County Commissioner, District 2. I've received an awful lot of calls about this, and my opinion is that you should adhere to the doctrine of retroactivity. All laws go forward, none go in reverse. And then anything that is passed, nothing, this should be added to it. Nothing in this bill shall impair or diminish any pre-existing right or use. And otherwise it would be a taking. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Before I start, I'd like to request that we make a motion to...
I'm sorry, you got to press the button so it...
I'm sorry.
And I'm deaf enough, I can't tell when you're in the mic or not. We're close enough, so...
Before I start, I'd like to request that we make a motion that we can continue this hearing to a larger venue because not everybody is able to even get in the rooms, much less stand here as required or be able to present. And so I'm just requesting that you do that, that you make a...
If I can interrupt just a minute, they are working on right now so that you will be able to testify from 3138, 3137, and the other overflow room. We'll let you know when that's available so those people downstairs won't have to work their way up. But thank you. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you. My name is John Romer. I'm here as a domestic well owner and president of the Rural Nevada Domestic Wells Cooperative Incorporated. First, I'd like to remind any elected official who may vote on any changes to domestic water law that you serve at the pleasure of the voters. You're only here to do our business as we see fit. If you cannot accurately represent the voters' interests, you can be replaced. On private property, we all understand that we own the soil. We also understand that we own the water percolating through that soil. They are indistinguishable. We have the right to use 2 acre feet of water per year from our domestic wells. The state engineer has determined that, in spite of the drought, wells are in pretty good shape, according to his report. His proposal to reduce the amount of water we own and how we use it is an attempt to take our water and give it to developers, take away what we already own by changing water law. This would be a regulatory taking of our property without compensation. It will devastate the quality of life for many well owners, significantly reduce property values, force lower assessed values, and reduce tax revenues. Our water is our property. We will not allow it to be taken. It is not necessary, it's not right, and it will not be tolerated. We demand that, one, there be no metering on existing domestic wells. Two, there will be no reduction in the 2 acre feet per year that we own and have the right to use. There will be no attempt to stop us from watering our plants and animals. We are in the process of contacting every domestic well owner in Nevada and alerting them to the threat of property loss and forced metering. There has been an overwhelming response with thousands of petition signatures in less than 3 weeks. This is just the beginning as anger over this issue explodes across the state.
You've got less than 30 seconds, so wrap it up.
We will be watching and reporting all legislative action on this issue. Be assured that your votes will be seen by voters that depend on or own domestic wells all across Nevada. Thank you. And I'd like to have this entered in the record, please.
Thank you, sir. Just on time. Good job.
Donette Hustleton, part of the Western Nevada Water Preservation Foundation. First bill I want to talk to you about is the Nature Conservancy Bill. In reading this 30-page document, I find that all the banking water and having one office make all the decisions on how water can be used. The scary part, they could transfer the water out of any basins. Our basin should be having a management plan on how to manage their water, and it should not be up to one office or a nonprofit that could benefit from the transfers. If we have such a water problem, then we should not be allowing the big development to happen. This is a big mistake. Our water could be purchased from the highest bidder, and our rural area could dry up and look like Owens Valley. The scary part to all this is
is that they want to help manage our water. Let me give you an example of management. They purchased a ranch near Smith Valley and destroyed it. This ranch was beautiful. Now it's full of weeds. The property was given or sold to the U.S. Forest Service, as well as Lyon County lost property tax revenue. Is this how they manage the land? Is this how they're going to manage our water? Domestic water bill. There's some good ideas, some bad ideas. At this point, the water law states, as a domestic water holder, we are junior water holder. If there isn't a curtailment, then we lose our water by the current law. By changing part of this law, it would keep us from having our wells shut off. The bad part of this bill is telling us that we can only use water for indoor use only under the curtailment. This is a problem. Do we shoot our horses, our other livestock, or we kill our landscapes? Many people have a lot of money invested. If ranchers are under a curtailment of 30% or so on, then the domestic water should be under the same curtailment on the 2 acre feet. The only way to enforce this is to have meters so one can know how much water is being used. I think that Jason King has a very hard job, and he does listen to most suggestions, and he has an open-door policy. I believe he can rewrite the bill so it works for the state and all. As we all know, there are different water problems all over the state, but this bill should be focused on the areas that have the problems. The current water law works and just needs to be enforced, and a few amendments to the so it would benefit all of the state. The management summary bill. The summary is too vague. It gives too much power to one agency. Our water needs to have checks and balances. The bill does not have any direction but gives all the power to one office. Jason is honest about our water and highly qualified to make decisions, but when someone else is in the office later down the road, they may not have the experience or understanding. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ahead, hello, sir. My name is Tom Quigley. I live in Carson City. Thanks for giving me the time to speak here. I first learned about this thing they're trying to do with the meters on the wells yesterday afternoon, so maybe it might be a good idea if you want to create more faith in government, if you go out of your way, since you know all the well owners in the state, maybe you could contact them individually with some kind of bulk list to tell them what's going on so they can make plans to come here and represent their feelings about what's going on. As an everyday person that's working 7 days a week trying to run a business, I don't have time to be down here checking with what the Water Conservation District is doing or whatever. So in order to create, you know, better goodwill with the public, I know that the state knows where all the wells are. Contact those people and give us a chance to come in here. All it does is make you guys look bad when we hear about this the day before on a local radio station. So I want, again, I'm totally against any capping on or meters on any domestic wells. My property values, I kind of pretty much agree with what Mr. Hansen was saying. So that's about it. Just the main thing I would like is if you give some kind of a notice to people so we can come down here and find out what's going on. It seems as though you're just trying to pull the wool over our eyes real quick. And that's my opinion, so take it or leave it. But if you want to understand why people are pissed off about government, what's going on, it's stuff like this that happens in government. I'm sure that you're not all doing this intentionally, but this is the look that the public has. Thank you very much. Good luck.
Thank you, sir. And just if it helps you, yesterday morning at this time I was baling hay. Again, this has been a posted meeting. We are a citizen legislature. I understand your concern, but they have been posted meetings.
I understand that. That's legally posted meetings. I understand that. But if you want to create goodwill with the public, you gather the list, you spend 20 cents, and you send them a letter, and you tell them that this item is on the agenda and they may have an interest. To me, it appears you're trying to do nothing but trying to pull the wool over somebody's eyes and pull something real quick on the DMAC, on the back of all the people that are working their A's off trying to make a living. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing us to be here. My name is Marty Perry, and I live in Silver Springs, and I am a domestic well owner. I'm also the secretary of Rural Nevada Domestic Well Owners, Inc., and I'd like my comments entered into the record, please. The water under the dirt's mine. Came with my property when I bought it. I can't sell it, give it away, trade it, or otherwise dispose it and separate it from the property. So how is it can be just taken by a regulatory taking? I put my well in. I maintain it. As a result of my responsible use of my well and water, It served me very well. My well water is clean. It meets all state of Nevada standards. It gives many municipal water providers a run for their money, including Silver Springs Mutual Water Company. This action by the legislature will change my whole living. I would eventually lose my home, since without water to maintain it, I won't have any value in it. No gardens, landscaping, a way to provide for animals, my property will become worthless and unsaleable. At this time, with this proposal on the table and being considered by the legislature, the possibility of this happening must be disclosed by a potential seller, whether they are a private seller or working with a real estate agency. It is material fact that affects the value of the property. How is it possible to sell property with this overhanging cloud? Buyers are not going to be real happy. I know that at least one of the committee members is a rancher and is up for re-election. Do you have any parts to sell, any plans to sell any part of your property or benefit from these actions in any way, shape, or form? If you do, it occurs to me that you may have a conflict of interest. I hope that's not the case. I have in my hand just under 1,450 signatures on petitions. I would respectfully submit these to the subcommittee, along with the count on the online petitions of 4,400, and that was at 6:30 this morning when I left my computer. As of a quarter to nine, it was 4,500 plus. This must not pass. It will lend to people abandoning their properties, bankruptcies, and foreclosures. It is wrong to take from individual owners and use this taking to fulfill the pockets of developers, investors, and other potential beneficiaries. How can you damage and destroy what so many people have worked so long and hard for? As a domestic well owner, we know there's a lot of confusion about this water grab. We know it's about the money. We've been told we are blowing this all out of proportion. However, it's because we don't have any knowledge. We're getting varied stories. I would also like this article.
Thank you. Your time's up. You want it in the record?
I would like this in the record. It's Office of the State Engineer, Nevada Wells Are in Good Shape, April 20th, 2016.
Very good. Thank you.
And where do I deliver this stack to the Secretary?
We usually don't do this, but I'll allow one time. Mr. Ford.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You're right. We don't do this. Thank you for indulging me. Listen, I just want to let everybody know that the chair of this committee, on his own volition, knowing how difficult this topic was going to be, decided that this was an important enough topic to take on. It's jeopardy when you do that. He asked who wanted to be on the committee. I volunteered because I know it's a hard committee. I think it's important for everyone to understand that this is not something that we take lightly. Again, the chair voluntarily undertook this because he knew that this was an important notion and something that affects our entire state. You want us to spend, not you, some people want us to spend 20 cents to send you a mailing, happy to do it. That costs money, and people complain about us spending money. So we do the very best we can to ensure that the public knows about these meetings. We've had six of them across the state in every corner of the state, because the chair thought it important enough for us to make it around to see the state and talk about these water issues. So as those come up to speak, I want you to keep that in the back of your minds before you ridicule and chastise us for taking on this task. We know it's a tough task, and we want to make the right decision for the entire state, and especially for you folks who are directly affected. I felt it important to say that. We don't typically talk in public comment, but I've already heard a couple of comments that I think give the credit where it's due, and I want to put that on the record and give the chair his credit. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, I don't want the credit, but thank you, Mr. Ford.
Thank you. My name is Pat Phillips. I live in Washoe County in Reno, to be specific. I am a domestic well user and owner. I have water rights, but I felt it important to make some comments about some of my experiences and some recommendations. For many legislative sessions, there have been attempts to take water away from homes. Homes, usually the biggest investment that a family makes. They are not just bricks, wood, and land. The emotional investment is larger than the financial. We have chosen our homes for a specific reason. We grow gardens, improve the environment, raise animals, and nurture our families. The water in our wells are used on the land that we purchased and percolate back down to the basin from which it was taken away, and it is not piped away. The people of Nevada are tired of being, shall we say, punished or taken advantage of because we paid and live here and must suffer because usually a business or a government entity wants to take it away. We pay for and dig the wells. We maintain the wells. We pay for the pipe installation. The water we use goes back into the basin that it came from. Usually there is no water treatment needed. Hey, we save the government money. This proposal, as presented, is attempting to use a blanket approach to a very diverse situation. We bought homes with wells because we are rural. That is what we purchased. Taking the water will lower the value and make our homes just a building. Nevada is already thought of as being urban like Las Vegas, but we are rural. This is one of those times when I wish I was one of you up there, because then I could ask for and get questions such as, one, why was this water over allocated? Two, was any of this water allocated to developers? I go to meetings where developers brag that they have water. Three, will water be taken away from the current domestic wells on rural land purchased for as a home and be given to future developments that were originally over-allocated? Four, would the state or water municipalities pay back the landowners that have the domestic wells? Our state is like a human body. You can make it grow, but if you kill the heart, and in this case, it is the water, you will have a dead body. My recommendations would be don't mandate a blanket approach. Don't take away homeowners' water to give it to developers who only have paper water rights. It is time to restrict them. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Go ahead.
Hello. My name is Rhonda Moore. I'm a Lyon County well owner, and unlike some of the other speakers here, I don't come with complaints or to tell you what you already know. I have some solutions. Okay, let's start mandating composting toilets in all commercial buildings, all public buildings. Rather than putting a meter on my well, the cost of putting a meter on every well in rural Nevada would greatly diminish our ability to actually do something about our water situation. We need to stop allowing corporations to water the parking lots. Let's enforce those regulations we already have. Stop allowing sod farms. We're a desert. What do we need sod farms for? We can grow oats. Takes less water. Looks like grass, and you can have breakfast. There's a lot we can do. Stop allowing businesses, whether they're a large corporation or a small mom-and-pop shop, to have water fountains. That's a waste of our water. It evaporates. There's so much that we can do that is so much more environmentally sound than putting a meter on my well. I take a bath in a 32-ounce glass of water to save water. I use gray water to water my trees, even to water my garden. You can mandate that commercial and private entities do the same. I mean, don't mandate that they take a shower in a 32-ounce glass of water. Not all of us can do that. But you can mandate gray water tanks. Gray water can be used to water a tree, a small plot of garden, and it will percolate back down into the soil, cleaning itself along the way to our water basin. Just a few solutions. I believe that's all I have to say.
Thank you, ma'am. You're right on time. Go ahead, ma'am.
Good morning, Subcommittee Chair and members. I'm Mary Ann Merriam. I live at 8600 Lakeside Drive in Reno. I have a domestic well on my property, and this water study greatly concerns me as follows. Item 2A is so constraining, it is ludicrous. Item 2B is only slightly better, but it still does not allow water for agricultural purposes to feed livestock. Item 2B will allow you to water. Livestock need to eat as well as drink. This needs further expansion. Item 3A limits new wells to half-acre feet annually. First, we need a better definition of, quote, new domestic well, unquote. If my present well goes dry and I have to drill my old well deeper or change locations of the well on my property, would that be considered new and be limited to half-acre feet per year? Also, is that for 1, 10, 100, or 1,000-acre sites? As it is written, it is very arbitrary and not defined well at all. Item 3B, no new domestic wells in severely over-appropriated areas. First, I'm alarmed that you have a category of not just over-appropriated, but also severely over-appropriated. I firmly believe that the counties that got themselves into a bind need to get themselves out of that bind and not depend on the rest of the state to bail them out, i.e., it is completely unfair to ask Washoe County residents to bail out Nye or other county public engineers that approved their over-appropriations. Item 3C, meters on all new domestic wells in severely overappropriated areas. Like I said, let the county that dealt the hand find the fix. The rest of the whole state shouldn't be required to bail out the officials that approved the water use. Item 4, date of a priority of a well should remain the date the well was completed. Don't try to change it to the date of land possession, as that negates a huge amount of value inherent to a piece of property. It is not your prerogative to change the law that has governed water rights in Nevada since its inception. Item 5, allow for de minimis rainwater collection, i.e. rainwater harvesting. I am for this, but it needs quantified. Item 6, requiring metering on all users in the state. This is totally superfluous. I have no desire nor intention of paying for a meter when my water rights are already established. Item 7, expanding state engineer's authority to mitigate potential water conflicts. This would give the southern half of the state disproportionate power over northern Nevada's water rights as they have a larger population, more political action committees, et cetera. Item 10, statewide water strategy. Again, this needs specific measures to protect northern Nevada's water rights when the majority of the population and bureaucracy is in southern Nevada. Item 15 is too open-ended. Do not give my water rights to developers so the state engineers can, quote, manage their over-appropriations. Item 16, please explain exactly how this credit system works. Many of the measures relating to domestic wells are a bureaucratic solution to a bureaucratic screw-up. Don't expect me to relinquish my water rights that I have purchased, value, and use to developers wanting to build more houses. Please protect the water rights we own, and I thank all of you on this committee for the time you take to hear us, to consider our points, and take us seriously. Thank you. It's a very important job.
Thank you, ma'am. Very good job. Thank you. I guess we'll go to the end of the table. Ma'am, please proceed.
Hi. My name is Sharon Boone. I have a well in Fallon, Nevada. And in the interest of not being repetitive, you said to be mindful of that. I only have a couple things left. You probably heard this the same time I did. A pipeline from Pershing County to Lyon County Industrial Park is under discussion at this time. This alone should make you aware that it was a very bad decision to bring water-intensive businesses here. Already they need more water, and they aren't even up and running full. Not my well. Just for your consideration. You shouldn't be bringing businesses that are going to require a lot of water. Big red light should go on. I mean, we're in a drought. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Amy Clemens, and I live here in Carson City. And I would just like to appeal to you as a young family owner, our family here in Carson City, and it's taken everything that we've had to be able to buy a rural property on an acre and have a well and get out of a subdivision. And to us, this would be devastating for our property values to go down because we can't water our trees and take care of our landscaping. We are a community, and I moved here from a large city and came here to be part of a rural community. And I would really like for you to consider slowing down our development and making sure our developers are paying the cost for the water and negotiating that water instead of it being a state action to take that water away from homeowners and giving it to business owners. I thank you. I know your job is very, very hard and that you have a target on your back no matter where you go or who you talk to. So I appreciate you being here. Have a good day, or try to at least.
Thank you, ma'am. Go ahead, sir.
My name is Tony Magnata. I live in the Johnson Lane area, and I'm standing up because we're Nevadans. We're not Californians, okay? So California is one of the largest populated states in the nation. It is the largest agricultural state in the nation. They use a lot of water. We don't. Most of our land is owned by the federal government. So have you ever been in the Johnson Lane area when it rains in the pine nuts? It's mud and water and everything. You take those water rights away from the homeowners, and they have half of the vegetation on their property, you're going to have a huge flooding problem. So you have to take that into consideration. And that's all I have to say. Thank you. And you all do a great job. We appreciate it. It's a tough job. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead, ma'am.
Good morning. My name is Susan Nickel. Reducing our water rights from 2 acre to 1/2 acre foot of water and not being able to water our gardens, take showers, baths, so you can continue to write development permits to use up our water, that's what got you into this mess, overdevelopment. What you need to do is listen to your constituents instead of listening to special interest groups like developers. Then to be charged for our own water, that's an outrage. When we bought our property, we bought it with 2 acre foot water. And by doing this, you are attempting to violate our rights to privacy and the pursuit of happiness. These are both violations of the Constitution of the United States and the Bill of Rights. Secondly, you scheduled this hearing for 9 o'clock on the first Friday school was back in session. That was calculated, so you wouldn't have so much outcry from the public. We will spend 24/7 collecting signatures to impeach everyone connected with this proposal or votes for this proposal. And for you people to be so arrogant to think that you can just take our rights away. Why don't you go to another country? You'll be welcome there. But you're not welcome doing this here. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I guess we'll start on the end again. Thank you.
Roger Adam, for the record. I oppose any curtailment of domestic well water rights by state legislators or unelected bureaucrats, including but not limited to the Office of the State Engineer. My perception after reading articles in the Record Courier and Nevada Appeal is that current state laws are already intrusive. My opinion is the same majority of state legislators that gave us the gross receipts tax soon after it was rejected by an overwhelming majority of voters can't be trusted to represent their constituents properly with the promulgation of new domestic well or any other water-related laws. Among my major proposal concerns, number one, meters should not be required for any Nevada domestic wells. Why do you need them? Are you being unduly influenced by water companies or campaign-contributing developers? Are you looking for extra revenue sources in addition to the gruesome gross receipts tax? Is this government intrusion into the rights of Nevada property owners really necessary? Two, my perception is many property owners with domestic wells are unaware of what, in my opinion, are stealth legislative proposals to curtail their water rights. Doesn't the state know who these well owners are? Why are they not being notified by the state of the major changes being proposed? We are certainly notified of our property and vehicle tax obligations, for example. Is it because many Nevada well owners would like state legislators and regulators to keep their socialist noses out of their wells and would vote for the opponents of the legislators responsible at the earliest opportunity? My perception is the current appointed state engineer has an excellent reputation. But what guarantee do we have that future holders of this unelected office will be responsive to the rights of domestic well owners? All proposals to increase the power of this unelected appointed office should be rejected. Persons in government curtailing citizens' water or any other rights should have to face the voters. Fourth concern, none of the proposals in the agenda are for eliminating current draconian laws mandating certain domestic well owners plug their wells and connect to water lines of private water companies. I believe Senator Settlemyer voted against the gruesome gross receipts tax. I urge him and the subcommittee to use that same good judgment to oppose all proposals curtailing water rights of domestic well owners.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead. I'd like to recognize Assemblyman Jim Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you said, Assemblyman Jim Wheeler from District 39. As my colleague from 37 said, I have never received as much feedback from my constituents on any single issue, including guns, including transgender bathrooms, that I have gotten on this. And that's because I come from an area where we have a 50,000 acre-foot recharge to our aquifer and about a 30,000 acre-foot usage. So we're in pretty good shape in the Carson Valley Aquifer, as you well know. But I'd like to say to this committee as well that the chairman of this committee actually knows more about water probably than anyone in this state. So if you guys don't think he's going to do the right thing, you're wrong. I think he will do the right thing. But regardless of that, you asked for solutions, Mr. Chairman, and I'm wondering why this committee might not just commission a study or start the process to commission a study to see about the transfer of water from other states who have an overabundance of water, neighboring states such as Idaho, Oregon, et cetera, and maybe get the ball rolling, because as development continues on in this state, we're going to need more and more water, and we're the fourth driest state in the union. So I'd like to see, maybe in the next session, maybe through this committee, that we start commissioning a study to see how we can bring water in from areas that have more water than we have. And, you know, we've done pipelines for oil, for gas, for everything else. Maybe we need to get the federal government involved here and start bringing some water in from other places. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, my name is Jerry Evans. I'm with the Evans Broadcast Company, and perhaps some of the people here listen to us talk about this hearing here, which is held, as one of the property owners said, on a Friday morning when most people are working. Here's a quote, and the important words are from and to, and it's from each according to his ability, to each according to his need. That's Karl Marx, the communist. And what you're proposing to do, or what is proposed, and when I say you, I'm not you personally, is to take from private property owners. And it seems like every time that the state either overspends or over, in this case, allocates, you always go to the private property owner to bail you out, to pay for your mistakes, whether it's spending with the margins tax, which is how it should was named and is should be appropriately named. But a quick story. A friend in Lake Tahoe just recently had to put in a $400 meter that he paid for. So I would ask just some common sense questions, which is, you expect people to pay for the meter, put it on their property, and then you're going to tell them what they can use that is already rightfully theirs. It seems to me that the hardest job that you have is to leave people alone. There are hundreds, if not thousands, there are hundreds of homes within a couple of miles here, thousands of homes across the states that have been built by developers that don't even have a meter on them. The last thing I want to do is suggest to the government to start putting meters on those homes. But if you're going to meter somebody, these are homes that were built that were never required to have a meter on them. Windhaven and Minden is one of those. There are places all over Lake Tahoe that don't have meters on them. Again, I hate to suggest that you use some common sense and go to those homes first. And if anybody's going to put a meter in it and pay for it, it should be the people that want the water or the people that want to supposedly manage the water. Again, you're responsible for the mistakes. You fix them, and especially don't ask the people of Douglas County to send water to some other county that's being developed and to, again, bail them out of the mess that somebody down there got them into or the state got them into. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Mr. Speaker, distinguished chair people, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. I haven't heard anybody talk about a situation that I have. I have a domestic well. My water is so bad that I won't even give that water to my animals without treating it. I treat my own well water. I have a full house, full property RO system. Cost me a lot of money to put in order to take that water that's unfit for human consumption, arsenic and everything known to man in it, and make it drinkable and potable and usable. I water my trees and plants and garden with it. I water my animals with it. I wash everything I have, and it all gets repercolated through my septic system. Nobody has offered to reimburse me or talk about reimbursing me for all the expense of treating that water. And if you were to cut my well down to one-half acre foot, I wouldn't even be able to produce that water because it takes 2 gallons of that water to make 1 good gallon of water. And I pay for the cost of doing that, filters and things. And nobody's discussed that issue. But I think if you want to talk about also, this whole thing comes down to one issue, really, money. Money and development and developers, and who's going to give up what or pay for what. If the developers want water, let them go to other states and work a deal out to transport that water here. Let them go over to California and work a deal out with the state of California to start pumping water out of the ocean and taking some of the oil resources we have in this country and pay to desalinate it. We could flood this entire state with water. We could grow enough food in this state to feed probably the whole country and part of the world with. But you got to have good water, but somebody has to pay for it, and that's what this whole issue is about. It's about money and who is going to pay for what. And to put it on the backs of the rural residential people is out and out wrong. If you want to pass a bill to do something, pass a bill that would make it criminal for any politician to do anything with the water that will infringe on the rights of people that already have it without some type of just compensation. You require us to put a 100-foot well in now. At $40 a foot, it ain't cheap. And that's if it's good water and not have to treat it like I do. Thank you for your time, and please consider all the people's recommendations, because there's going to be a lot of them. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And could you identify yourself for the record?
My name is Gary West, and I will sign out. I didn't find a sign-in sheet coming in.
All right. Thank you, sir. Go ahead, sir.
My name is Bob Namey. I'm from Douglas County. I live in Gardnerville, south end of the county. I'm a gentleman farmer. I only got 20 acres, not probably as big as you have, Mr. Chairman. But when I bought that property 13 years ago, I have surface water rights, which I haven't been able to get a second cutting of hay, and that's because of the snowpack. I understand water. But I also paid for a domestic well that I put in to utilize. When I bought my property, I had 0 trees. There was not one tree on my property, but I grew hay. I put in 120 different kinds of trees around my property to enhance the beauty of the Carson Valley. Now, to take away the domestic ability to irrigate outside lawns is totally ridiculous. First off, is the state engineer, I found out about this meeting last Friday in the newspaper. So I went to the website, the Nevada Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. First off, I don't even know why we're here. The statement by Rick Felling on April the 20th of this year says our aquifers are in pretty good shape across the state. We've had a drought, but our aquifers are able to absorb short-term drought and even some long-term drought. So actually, across the state, we're in fairly good shape. Well, if we're in fairly good shape in April, all of a sudden we're in a crisis, the way you're going to take away the domestic water wells is crazy. That's like saying, let's go cut down the aspen and the cottonwood trees because they drink too much water. I think Nevada is a barren area. I think there's certain parts of it that look better because we plant lawns or we put trees in. And I think that my recommendation is that the problem is in certain counties, and the state engineer has the ability to manage those counties where they're over appropriated. Las Vegas, Pahrump, and those areas. There's interbasin transfers that they could look at. There's retention wells. Water, we don't even have well or any dams in our Carson Valley. Water goes right down the Carson River and disappears. If we had a dam structure to hold back some of this water, just like Johnson Lane somebody talked about, and hold it in the pine nuts and then use it during different areas in need, it would be better off. The domestic wells, based on what I read off their website, are exempt from permits. The state engineer has the ability to put meters on permitted wells. This is not a permitted well. We don't even get a permit from him to put the well in when we first put it in, but we have to record it with them after we put it in. My suggestion of what I've heard today is recommendation to you would be to refer this back to the state engineer and let him come up with solutions to the problem areas of the state without affecting the whole state of Nevada by putting a meter on our domestic wells and regulating us to a half an acre foot. That's crazy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead, ma'am.
My name is Julie Osborne. I am a property owner in rural Washoe County. Nevada is a wonderful state, and it's a wonderful place to live, and we are mostly unmolested by our government. We are historical users, and we are the caretakers of the land and the water. Historical users don't squander our resources. We use them to our advantage to be self-sufficient. We grow livestock, we grow agriculture, and we grow our own food. As of this morning, 4,531 people have signed a petition, of which I have a copy, on change.org. And this is just in a short few days. Over 4,500 people have signed this petition. That's almost 5% of what you say are less than 100,000 domestic wells. NGOs, like the Nature Conservancy, non-governmental organizations, are not elected by us, the people. So I believe the committee should take our comments, the comments of the people, and our suggestions with a much heavier weight than NGOs give you, like the Nature Conservancy. I believe they have an ulterior agenda. Look at how they try to control Nevada and our land usages with the sage-grouse, with not being able to manage our own lands, and we have catastrophic wildfires now. So I think we, the historical users, have a much better understanding of how to use our resources like water. Please do not penalize the domestic well owners. Perhaps curtail usages in the cities. Does everybody need a lawn? I don't have a lawn. So does everybody need a lawn? I believe that there have been some great suggestions here, and I think that the suggestions are better than trying to penalize us, the domestic well users. Thank you for your time, and I appreciate, and I know we all do, appreciate your time in listening to this very controversial subject.
Thank you, ma'am. We appreciate it. And I'll just make a note, when we get done with Mr. Wagner on the end, we will go south and take a few of those comments there. We've got some people waiting there as well. So, all right, go ahead, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Michelle Austin, and I live in Silver Springs. The NRS 534.120, the domestic well exemption is not subject to forfeit or revocation, and a homeowner cannot be required to cease pumping as long as the domestic well is operating properly. According to Jason King, the state engineer, Nevada Division of Water Resources, his own PowerPoint presentation, statewide groundwater use for domestic wells is 2.5% for the whole state. Statewide surface water use is 0.6%. Mining use is 10%. I haven't heard anyone going after mining. The immediate issue is about over-permitting future rights to water, and in order to solve that problem, you're trying to steal our water. Those future developments will make millions off of their investments at our expense. We should be grandfathered in. Restrictions and meters possibly put on future growth, residential, and commercial, so they know up front what they are getting into and can decide to buy or not. The bigger picture is privatizing all water in the state. Get domestic well owners off their wells. Once all the water in the state is controlled by private entities, then they will be able to charge as much as they want for water, and people will be forced to pay or move. Case in point, Carson City residents' water rates are being raised 20% every year for the next 5 years. This is a 100% increase in their cost to access that very public-owned water. I know a single person living in Carson, and they use very little water, and their water bill is running $115 a month. By the time they are finished with the 5-year rate increase, their water bill will be closer to $200 a month. Before the increases started, their bill had been running $55 a month during the summer months, and that included them watering their lawns. How much is a household of four paying if this is how much it is running, a single conservative person? NRS 533.025, the water belongs to the public. The water of all sources of water supply within the boundaries of the state, whether above or beneath the surface of the ground, belongs to the public. I do not see how it belongs to the public if our right to that water is taken from us or owned by water companies, and then we are forced to pay unaffordable prices for that same water that legally belongs to the people of Nevada. Whatever the committee decides, we need to have the rules apply also to the legislator as well. Nobody is exempt. These are private wells on private property. If the state of Nevada foresees not having enough water resources to support future growth, then the committee should be forcing on restricting future growth within the state to preserve those resources instead of following the global agenda or having the mentality of whoever has the longest and deepest water pipes, the most political pull, or the most money can develop as much as they want at the expense of everyone else who's already been established in the state. If you continue to push this regulatory taking, then you will need to compensate every domestic well owner in the state for the loss you will have us all to incur because of the regulatory taking. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Right on time. Go ahead, John.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is John Wagner. I represent the Independent American Party of Nevada. We have over 70,000 members. I do not have a well, but a lot of our members do have wells. And I have to agree with what Assemblyman Wheeler said. Let's find new water. If we have to build some dams to catch some of the water in some of the areas, then that's something I think we should look at. And we know there are states out there that's got all kinds of water. Well, unfortunately, we can't bring the water from Louisiana. But there are side benefits to being able to water outside and groundwater. For example, other animals besides just your livestock drink water. We have, in our house, we have a lot of grass in the backyard. We see rabbits coming in there all the time. We see deer coming down to eat off the front lawn. So domestic animals are part of it, but so are the animals that normally live here. In some cases, I know as far as farmers are concerned, deer feed a lot on it. Even the tortoise down there in the desert starts to flourish, which is good. I also appreciate what Senator Ford had to say. I don't think he went far enough with his comments, but I heard some comments here that sounded very much like threats, and I don't think that is necessary. It's not, you're doing your job the best you can. If you don't like your assemblyman, run for office like I'm doing now, for example. So there's always ways to replace your assemblyman without having to threaten them. Thank you.
Thank you, John. All right, we're going to go down south as we've got one presenter at the table. If there's anyone else, please come forward. And, again, we're working on 3 minutes. Yeah, you can't see the light, I'm sure, but we'll let you know when you're down to 30 seconds. Please proceed, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bob Kochi here. I'm here on behalf of my clients. I represent about 40,000 acres of private land, 4 million acres of grazing in Nye County, Lincoln County, Esmeralda, Lander, and Humboldt. And to address your question that you asked at the beginning, no, we can't continue to go on the current path that we're on. I've got about 35 years of experience in this, and it's definitely getting worse. And I think Jason and his staff and you should be commended for really driving this albeit uncomfortable discussion, but it really needs to be discussed. I'm going to go through the items and just real quickly, but 2A, support, assuming that domestic wells are subject to curtailment. And I believe they are. I think the legislation's clear. I think you disagree with that, and we probably should clarify that. And I'm sorry, and it's 2B, not 2A. 3A, we oppose. It's not necessary. 3B, we discussed in Pahrump. If Jason or the state engineer, I should say, has the authority to curtail new domestic wells, it's not needed. I think we need to make that decision or clarify that. And if not, then we need a legislative change to allow the curtailment of domestic wells, provided with the exception of transfers or dedication of water rights. 3C, oppose. Overuses on domestic wells, especially in pumps, not really a problem. I don't see what we're going to get out of that. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, let's watch our dollars and our pennies will watch themselves. 4, oppose it. It's pretty clear on when the priority of domestic wells starts. Support number 5. Support number 6. Oppose number 6, unless domestic is excluded and, let's see here. And Jason already has, the state engineer already has the authority to issue orders on all wells in the state. 8, support. 9, support. You and I, we discussed number 9 before. Filed tons of claims of vested right. This is really needed and to protect rights. How it's done, it, you know, there could be some streamlining in that. Number 14, I think 534090 should be eliminated in its entirety since we don't forfeit surface water rights. But if you don't have it already, you're getting a proposed change to 534090 to take care of the noticing requirement in a 30-day notice. It's the same premise that we discussed last session and then discusses the state engineer's new position on the 4-year non-use letter.
Sorry, Bob, you're there.
3 minutes?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I couldn't get you broke down to tell you it was 30 seconds. But, again, if you want to close out with in the afternoon session, you can. But I think we know where you're pretty close to where you're headed.
Just 16 oppose, and I'll close with that, sir. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Looks like Mr. Band, I believe.
Yes. Hello, Pete. Thank you, committee. Kenny Bent, B-E-N-T, Pahrump, Nevada. I have two quick thoughts here. One is that domestic use has always been exempt from the appropriation process. The 1939 Water Act Section 3 is quite clear on that point. In 2007, language was inserted in the statute implying that domestic use is now part of water law and has a priority date. This is attempted to be applied retroactive, ex post facto, and is invalid by both state and federal constitutions. Okay, Nevada Well was created to promote economic growth and limit the waste of Nevada's water. When changed from riparian to prior appropriation, it pivoted on two concepts. First, the water being applied for would be put to a beneficial use, and two, the first to apply for that beneficial use would have priority over all applicants that came after him, hence first in time, first in right. The application was and still is specific to the project that the beneficial use is being applied for. Any change in point of diversion, place of use, or manner of use requires a resubmittal and approval. This still remains because the original intent was the appropriation of water belonged to the project, not to the applicant. When a project was successfully perfected, that beneficial use became certificated. For decades, legislative sessions have been dominated by senior water rights interests chipping away at beneficial use requirements while strengthening the priority date. From a long-term perspective, it's obvious that what was once the public waters is moving towards ownership. Over-appropriation is a symptom created largely because its original projects ceased to exist, the priority dates continue. It has also created the problem of what is called use it or lose it. There is no such thing as use it or lose it. It is only a misapplication of beneficial use. Now, this was suggested back in July 11th to please consider changing all water law, not just the beneficial use part. If all three of these occur at one time, change in point of diversion, change in manner of use, and change in place of use, a new application date will be established, and I hope you will consider that we go beyond just manipulating beneficial use. And thank you very much for your time, guys.
Thank you, sir. Have we got anyone else there? Yes. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is John Ridgway, and I'm a Clark County resident, zip code 89121. I would like to bring up the fact that a Republican form of government requires that elected officials protect the individual's rights. A democracy requires that people give up their rights for the greater good. Benjamin Franklin said, we're a Republican form of government if we can keep it. And I'd like to kind of stay on track with that ideology. And you're giving a lot of authority to the state water engineer. And, you know, with authority, there also comes, well, there's three elements of leadership. There's authority to do something, there's a responsibility to get it done, and there's accountability. So you're giving the engineer a lot of authority to do this, do that, do that. Hey, what about when the county commissioners decide or they get information and they realize, hey, that's kind of headed in the wrong direction and it's not achieving the desired results. So please allow for the machinations of the county commissioners to tell the engineer, hey, stop that. That ain't the way it's supposed to go. And I think that's all I have.
Thank you, sir. We'll take one more in Las Vegas, and then we'll come back north.
My name is John Bosta. I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak. I would like to talk about the idea of beneficial use. It's my understanding that beneficial use is the anti-speculation law of the state of Nevada. Normally, when an application is applied, the state engineer gives the people 1 year to put the works in, gives them 4 years to develop it, and then in the fifth year, they take and apply a report for beneficial use. And then once that report is made, the state engineer can then issue a certificate. Now, in Pahrump, Nevada, in Basin 162, a utility company has 28,000 acre-feet of water. They use 6,400 for their residences is all they can serve because that's the infrastructure. They have 28,000 acre-feet of water. Since 1983, beneficial use has not been called for on this water. Now, what has happened is for years, maybe year after year, they get extensions. In some cases, they are given an extension for 5 years. What has happened now in Basin 162 is that I find 29 permits, applications have been made to change the point of diversion where the utility company is putting the water into 8 wells. These changes of application is they have been given 10 years to establish beneficial use. I don't find any place in the law that says that they are entitled to 10 years without applying for beneficial use. This means that they can have this water year after year after year, and then they can dedicate it to developers to continue to develop. I think that beneficial use should be called for in all basins on the overextension of water rights. I know that there was a change of law, and when they changed the agricultural water rights to other uses, they were supposed to put in all kinds of permits, and this would have overwhelmed the state engineer's office, so there was some type of a change where these people didn't have to change the agricultural water rights to other uses. I think these need to be addressed and beneficial use should be called for such that the anti-speculation law of the state of Nevada is properly used.
John, you got
30
seconds.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. All right, we're going to come back north. Ma'am, would you please proceed? You've been waiting quite a while.
My name is June DeTurk, and I'm a domestic well owner living in Genoa, Nevada. To quote John Wayne, this is my country, and I'm going to do good for it. The proposals to limit our well use is bad publicity for our grand state. This type of effort could send our state back into a severe recession or depression rather than promoting the good life we have here. I was a California real estate broker and truly believe that this would put our state back in the recession we previously were in. The proposal to take the water from the free people in Nevada seems unjust and, I believe, illegal. The state engineer's office is recommending taking water from citizens and handing it over to other government agencies and municipalities. They would then be able to distribute the water as they see it. The heart of the matter is simply that this resident or rancher has their water rates taken away with no compensation. Then the water rights would then possibly be redistributed to others. And the logic leaves the taking the water away leaves our aquiflow below the existing wells and doesn't allow them to be replenished if we don't allow it to be replenished through our use. Excuse me. There's one example in Lake Tahoe where the water is, they don't have man, it's controlled by a municipality, and they don't have water meters, and the water is used uncontrollably. So we appeal to the state attorney's office to look into this because that water shouldn't be used freely. May God bless America, and may the future children of the state be given the opportunity for the better life that we have enjoyed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Go ahead.
My name is Sue Hassler, and I am a Carson City resident, and I live over by the Mexican Dam. I appreciate the committee today, and you are presenting the problem with the water issue. We chose to move here to Nevada 4 years ago to escape the problems of being nickel and dimed to death by taxes. Our water bill in the previous state was over $400 each month, and that was for two people and two dogs, and the dogs drank more water than my husband did. I recognize that there is a drought problem, but from what I see is that the domestic well owners didn't create the problem. But somehow today we're being asked to resolve a problem that was created by others. I'm curious as to how much water one casino uses in Las Vegas in one day. I can only imagine it would be more than any of us all here today could use in one day. I'm a solution-oriented person and recognize that you as a committee are seeking the same. And have you considered a moratorium on building more casinos in Las Vegas? It seems to me that overdevelopment seems to be the problem that lies here. Well users didn't create this problem and shouldn't be asked to resolve it.
Thank you, ma'am. Go ahead.
My name is Elizabeth McClure. I represent Silver Springs Community Water Protective Association. Because you're looking for solutions, I'm going to start at the end of my paper with the recommendations and then go back and try and fill in the blanks. We recommend to continue allowing rural domestic well users to water outside, both pets and livestock, as well as gardens, bushes, trees, even in drought years, because for most well users and owners, it's not just a luxury, it's a part of their livelihood. Number two is to tighten the PUC regulations governing water companies in Nevada to prevent unnecessary infrastructures and water tanks, or compel water co-ops to prove that their governance is in fact a cooperative, and to do that periodically. Number three, ascertain the mechanism by which overallocation of water rights occurred so that we can prevent more of it in the future, and then find a means of resolving that without taking water allocation from those who are not responsible for the issue. Number four, because overallocation did in fact occur, don't give the state water engineer any further powers at this time. Make people prove their beneficial use.
if developers are allowed to build, number five, require a water conservation plan for any development. Number six, allow the collection and use of gray and rainwater so that we can strategically water where we need the water, and then the water will return to the aquifer. Number seven, regulate trench and overhead irrigation hours depending on the season to cooler times of the day. And number eight, provide incentives, such as tax incentives maybe, to mining companies to find more ways to reduce their need for water. Then going back to kind of fill in the blanks, rural domestic well owners in Lyon County, which is the poorest county per capita in the state of Nevada, many depend on the Food Bank of Northern California for staples, but the food bank can't supply enough fresh produce, meat, dairy for the their needs. So many grow their own produce, raise goats, et cetera, and they have dogs and cats outdoors to protect from vermin such as mice, gophers, and kangaroo rats. It's a necessity, not a luxury. Rural domestic well owners in Lyon County fought Silver Springs Mutual Water Company.
Sorry, ma'am, your time's up.
Okay, I did turn in this to you if you would look at it. The PUC could not stop them from building a million-gallon water tank last year when we were in drought because of the laws. And they should have been able to stop them because even the PUC said it was an unnecessary water tank. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am, and we will include it in part of the record if you submitted it. Go ahead, ma'am.
My name is Esther Moore. I've been in front of the committee lots of times over Bango Oil. We had fought since 2007 Bango Oil Company that they led into our valley. I live right down below the dam area where they put Bango Oil right off the highway, not too far from our dam, and the Truckee River comes into there to help fill the Carson water dam. Okay. They wouldn't give me the particulars on how much they were using up there at the dam. I have a well, and I've been in this valley since 1954. My father was in the military, and he retired in the military. And that's why we were stationed in Fallon. And I love Fallon for the clean air and the good water. We don't have that no more since Bango Oil. And I went up there to see Mr. Williams at the plant because five wells have went dry in our valley, right down below the dam, which shouldn't have. And he says they're using 22,000 gallons of water a day. Yes. And this is what we've been fighting since 2007. And we're hurting down there. And it's costing Kite, the Ferguson Ranch, the Kite Ranch, and a few people that just have property there, $9,000 to have their wells re-drilled. I'm 46 feet deep, and I almost lost my water. If it wasn't recharged from the snow and the rainwater, I wouldn't have any well right now. So hopefully I can keep my well, and hopefully I won't have to pay for a meter to put on my well. And this is an agriculture community. It's nothing. I had horses, and this is nothing but people that have cattle, goats, sheep, pigs, and they raise food there. And I just thought I'd let you know a little bit what's going on.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Go ahead, sir.
David King from Douglas County. Real short, in looking at this, you have junior and senior people somehow in the water. Right away, that starts, we'll say, madness. I can't think of a better word. Well, you're a senior and you're a junior. You tell me the rules and I obey them. That's one. And two, where did this half acre, I haven't heard this question asked, where did the half acre amount come from? What was used as criteria? What was used to how to determine that? Was it the size of the house? Was it how many people were living in a family? I think that's important, and if that could be provided in newspapers, maybe we know, okay, well, it's not so bad. I don't know yet how bad or how good it is, but certainly how was the criteria established that one half acre foot was good enough for, let's say, I'm on 3.3 acres, small. Is that going to help me or is it going to hurt me? It's good to know how did this criteria, how was it established? Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
My name is Judith Harker. I live in Wellington, Nevada, in Smith Valley. I have a domestic well. I understand that the current law regarding junior and senior water rights needs to be addressed because most domestic well junior users as junior water right owners could be cut off completely under current law. The provision to allow indoor domestic use would at least let us live on our land and continue to pay our property taxes. That's where this, you know, allowing us to use the indoor water only is giving us something. This is more than what we would have under current law, which would be nothing if curtailment were to follow the exact law, if I'm correct. However, the indoor-outdoor distinction does not allow for the possibility of implementing, for example, a domestic gray water system to reuse indoor water for outdoor landscaping. I recommend that an accepted allowance be made for domestic gray water irrigation. This would encourage the use of such systems, reduce water use, maintain property values, and the environment would benefit by keeping the landscape alive, reducing dust and fire danger. And I also would hope that updating the current permitting procedures to reflect current technology and make it a little bit less arcane to put in a domestic water system would be really beneficial. The other thing I'd like to mention is I think it's vitally important to prevent the overdraw situation in Pahrump from happening in northern Nevada. According to number items in 11 and 12 on the current document, local land use plans have been and are now developed without any thought about water needed to implement them. I find that appalling. And I think strong legislation is required from you guys to change this. Further, the water right applicant actually provides the estimate for the groundwater resources in order to support his application. I think an independent, reality-based, data-based information is needed in order to develop land use plans that are actually based in reality and to grant any new wells or permits on new development based on actual the water that's actually there, not on some hoped-for paper water allotment. And finally, please don't plan on taking water from elsewhere to fix a problem that never should have been permitted to occur in the first place. And finally, just a real quick comment on meters since I have a little bit of time. No, I don't. Never mind. It's been said.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate your comments. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Pat Swain. I live in Smith Valley, and I totally concur with Mrs. Harker about the need to protect our we have a pretty good system in Smith Valley. We do need to protect against future overallocation, and I think she had some excellent suggestions about that. So I won't go on further about that. I was going to discuss the provisional flow standards and other aspects of the Nature Conservancy Plan. The flow standards using predictive models to calculate the water flow in each basin could actually be useful to prevent overallocation, but the studies must be performed by an independent or entity, not the Nature Conservancy. And the water should not be transferred between basins as the Nature Conservancy recommends. Another thing about their plan, they're offering to help develop standards with the state, and they're interested in partnering with the state and other stakeholders, whoever they are. The Nature Conservancy has done extensive research and modeling studies that must have cost far more than provided by grassroots donations, and we have to consider the entities that probably funded those studies. They also recommend retirement of water rights, and my question is who would benefit if it's used for development, as they mentioned, in Arizona, and the development is elsewhere, the land would become a dust bowl. They also recommend authorizing the sharing and trading of water shares. And there was a scenario in Australia with the Murray-Darling River Basin. They predicted that it would drive the small farmers out of business and collapse several, you know, rural communities, because the farmers, if the farmers got a water cut, they could not operate on the remainder. They would sell out. And these shares can even be bought and traded by speculators. And if the water shares were sold off, that would be a dust bowl scenario or cause the family farmers out to sell out to agribusiness, which has better economies of scale. And I think we need to protect our family farms, and because they are directly related to the community support, our market choice of what we buy in the way of produce, and our quality of life. Lastly, conjunctive management of surface groundwater and groundwater, as recommended by the Nature Conservancy, gives too much power to the state engineer. While Jason King has an excellent reputation for being fair, we don't know what his successor would be like. We need a system of checks and balances, and I believe that the Nature Conservancy does not have rural Nevada at its best interests. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, my name is Russ Davidson. I'm a Douglas County landowner and own a well. I'm also a local real estate agent. And I just encourage you guys to slow down. We're talking about some major changes in how we do things in this state. I consider taking private citizens' rights, owners, homeowners, or rights away is huge, and it should be done with, you know, a lot of consideration and input from the community. And please don't underestimate what this proposal is doing with real estate and the impact it has on real estate. Let's say one of you fine people would like to go look at a parcel down in Douglas County or Carson, and you see a home that's beautiful on a well, and I tell you, by the way, if you buy this property, you may not be able to water this landscape any longer. How motivated are you going to be to buy that piece of property? I mean, it's a huge impact. And I encourage you to look forward in doing legislation to future developers. Don't take away rights people already have and consider that steadfast and change that. That's my input. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
My name is Gerald Schuler. I'm from Reno, Nevada in Washoe County, 115 Ravine Court. I also am a well owner and native to Nevada. I believe we need to stop and control the growth. It's our right to have water and not to have it taken away. We need to stop the big builders and the uncontrollable growth. We're building today on book water rights, not what we actually have available in water. Let's not, and we should not, overbuild as to suck the water out of the ground, leaving our wells dry and faucets behind. Once we overdevelop and dry out wells, we cannot go back. We should be preserving the lifestyle we have in Nevada so that generations to come have the same great state to live in and the open space to enjoy. I should not have to give up my water rights so a new development can come in, build thousands of houses, and then turn around and use that water to water their lawns with our water. I see waste every day at government buildings as water runs down the sidewalks. Well users can serve and understand where water comes from, and we can serve every day. We should not be giving large tax breaks to entice new companies to move to Nevada just so they can take our water for their profit at our cost. It's time to start doing what the people want and to protect our rights, not what builders and developers want. I have three words for builders and developers out there. Pack your bags. We don't have the resources to support your growth, nor to line your pockets and leave us to clean up your mess. May I remind you, you work for we the people, not you the corporation. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead, ma'am.
My name is Catherine Snediger, for the record. I am not a legal fiction. I'm a living, self-conscious being, natural woman. We're in the state legislature, not the state of Nevada legislature. We are in the Nevada state legislature. It says so outside. So when you're all done with your little shenanigans that you're trying to do, taking our well water, that's going to be turned over to the corporation known as the State of Nevada. NRS 43.080 will tell you that the State of Nevada is a corporation. It is my representative's job to protect us from the State of Nevada, because that's a stakeholder, along with banks and counties and cities and plumbers and electricians. They're all stakeholders. It's my well, not theirs. They don't have any stake in my well. I have animals. I have 40 acres. I don't have a lot of landscaping, but I have some trees. I'm not giving any of it up. Nobody drilled that well for me. Nobody replaces the pump for me. If I have a problem with the water, there's nobody that comes. It's all on me, my responsibility. And I take very good care of my well because it's my responsibility. I don't care for the State of Nevada, as it was already discussed here, is going to be working with stakeholders to figure out how to best take my water when I live in Nevada State, which is a republic. And I have fiduciary representatives, and so does everybody else in the state. And you have a fiduciary obligation to protect the natural men and women who are not in business. You need to protect them from the business. And you don't do it, ever. It's always the little guy, the homeowner, the well owner, who suffers at the expense of big business and your ability to appease them. A republic government cannot enter into a partnership with anybody. But a corporate government can, the government known as the State of Nevada, the corporation. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Go ahead, sir.
My name is Jim White. I'm a property owner in Gardnerville, Nevada. I do have a domestic well. And I'm here because I have several issues with the use of water. The fundamental cause of the use of water is the fact that the population keeps growing. And I do believe it's important to protect the domestic water usage. I think that the recommendation that we go from 2 acre feet down to a half an acre foot is perhaps too little. An acre foot supplies the needs of a family of 4 or 2, according to some information that I looked up. I'm an engineer by background and a computer programmer, and I can tell you that meters are not required in order to estimate the well pumping from an aquifer. We should be able to find information by measuring the amount of water being pumped and the time estimates of pumping water from an aquifer. I don't think we know enough about the structure of aquifers at the current time to have a very comfortable feeling for whether or not the aquifer is adequate or not. That's an underground structure. It's filled with rocks and sand and all sorts of spaces. I know from the well report that was developed for my well. So I do have some recommendations for the committee. I think there needs to be a development of a simple solution to this problem as it currently exists. It should be fair to all parties, both domestic and agricultural. It should be balanced and have an identification of problems. There should be some protection of the aquifers built into it. And there should be a recognition that there is ownership and responsibilities involved by both the state, the local government, and the individuals. I think there needs to be a limitation of the power and potential for abuse in order to achieve fairness. I have about $150,000 worth of landscaping on my one-acre property, and I would certainly not like to see that damaged without adequate cause and special interests. So anyway, I submitted a copy of the information to the committee, and you can peruse it at your leisure. Thank you.
Thank you. After this next presenter, I'm going to go to room 3137 for a few comments, give them a chance. I'm sure they're tired of sitting there looking at us. So thank you. If you'll go ahead.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Laura Mijanovic. I am a neighbor at Washoe Valley. I am a domestic well owner. My husband and I moved to this area in year 2000. Before in Pleasant Valley, we had always domestic wells. I am completely surprised that I'm here by chance. I only found out about this, which is such a serious situation. And just I found out through a neighbor that there was going to be a regulation that could take away my property rights. I find this very serious because I wonder if how many people are in my situation, and some of them, hundreds, maybe thousands of families that have not even found out about the possibility of the property rights being taken without compensation, without notification, by a regulatory scheme that is really not based on sound reasons. Basically, what we're talking about is about invoking the powers of eminent domain over thousands of families that live in domestic well properties that have invested in the irrigation system, the well itself, maintenance, trees, etc. It's a lot of value involved to not be notified. Second, in order to invoke the power of eminent domain, you have to justify the reason. There must be a public reason that really shows that there is a need to curtail the rights of particular property owners. As I understand from my own research and from what I heard in this room, the aquifers underneath my house and in this, at least in the area of Washoe Valley, are more than healthy. They don't justify that we need to curtail our use of the water. So let's look deep into what the real reasons are. Is this that we, the property owners, private property owners, have to give away part of our vested rights, constitutional rights? There is a constitutional right to our property, including the water that is in our properties, especially in the county where I live. And we need to incur expenses into creating meters, giving water away. There is no justification. To end my presentation here, I just want to warn you that this is such a serious issue that the state of Nevada, by incurring to this type of legislation, would be opening the floodgates of litigation, because this would not be an issue that would end here. And you have been witness to a room that was more than full. There were no places to sit. And you have not even notified all the people. So thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, I'm going to go to room 3137 and give those guys down there a chance to comment. Just take it easy. Them chairs are better than the ones in the back. So thank you. Can we switch or roll to 3137, please? I guess. Is this 3137?
Yes, this is 3137.
Okay, and so we'll go ahead and take some comments from there if we can get the squeak out of it. Okay. Have we got presenters at the table?
Yes, we do. They're trying to eliminate a squeak with the microphone.
Now can you hear me? We're going to shift back up here and see if we can kind of clear that up. Maybe we'll get staff to see if it's kind of an irritating squeak. So go ahead, ma'am, if you'll proceed here.
Hi, my name is Autumn Mello, Smith Valley, Nevada. I feel that water should stay in our own water basin areas, and they should be managed at a local level. Localized problems should not become a state problem by breaking the current system. The issue I'd like to address mostly is the problems I have with the indoor fix. Under current law, and when we purchased our property, we were allowed a water allowance. We paid $18,000 to drill our well. If there's a water shortage and a problem in our area and we need to restrict water, they should restrict the allowance but allow us to see how it should be, us to use it as we see fit. To use water to water our pets, our livestock, our vegetable gardens, and fruit trees. Personally, I have 5 acres in Smith Valley. We have left it mostly sage and desert peach to conserve water. We have planted the few plantings that I've done. It's water-wise plants, and we have a small edible garden. If we are restricted, my husband and I were retired, and we don't want to be completely dependent on the system for food. So please don't force us to buy our water and our food. As for meters, I have mixed feelings. One plus is it would catch the rule breakers. There are people in our valley that have 5 acres, and they have it completely planted with grapes. So you know they're going over their 2 acres. Solve those problems. But I've seen what has happened in California with meters. People were asked to conserve water voluntarily, and others wasted water. So when they became to the mandatory restrictions, the people who were saving got penalized, while the people who wasted water got more. The cost of meters, if it was necessary, shouldn't be put on the homeowners that we've already spent, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars putting in these wells. It should be done by grants or taxes, however. Indoor use also causes problems of dust and fire hazards. Fix and enforce our current laws. Stop the over-drilling and the over-development. And don't take water from one area to fix a problem that another area caused. Don't make Pahrump's and Vegas's problem our problem. Fix it locally. Don't take our water and sell it to the highest bidder. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Let's go ahead and try 3137 again, see if we have a mic.
We have a mic, but it's still quite squeaky. Do you want me to proceed?
Let's try one and see how irritating it gets.
Okay. My name's Terry. I reside in rural Washoe County. And in the interest of not being redundant, most of the comments that I've heard reflect some of the things that were on my mind. But one thing that really hasn't been addressed is the idea of defensible space in the wildland fires. Where I live in 1996, we experienced a large wildfire that came dangerously close to our home. And we're also on a perimeter. So we know up close and personal the importance of defensible space. And as a perimeter lot where we are, we border BLM property. So we're not only providing defensible space for our property, but also for the rest of our subdivision as the first line of defense. You know, curtailing watering of lawns, of landscaped areas that many of us have invested quite a bit of money in our property. It's not just about looks and aesthetics and things like that, but some of that is very practical protection of that property. And so I think that's also a consideration that should be taken into account when you're looking at this issue. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, Mr. Chair, the squeak went away, so keep going, I guess.
Oh, hello, thank you, committee, for hearing us. My name is Joshua Childs. I live in Silver Springs, Nevada, and my family is on a well. I have this dream to have a small hobby farm.
If you'd hold just a minute, sir,
over the
can
years
you stop for just a minute?
Planning an orchard and setting up a raised bed garden, which uses drip irrigation systems, and I have future plans for livestock, such as chicken and sheep and goats. And I'm also a backyard beekeeper, and my bees help pollinate everyone in the area within 2 miles of me with their gardens as well, and bees need water to survive. So these proposals to restrict for internal use only could be extremely devastating for people like me who want to be more self-sufficient. You know, half an acre foot a year is fine for a small suburb, but for somebody who wants land to be self-sufficient, it's not such a great idea. I have a quote here pulled straight from the Declaration of Independence that was kind of brought up earlier, and says that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. I do not give my consent to have my well metered or restricted. And bringing up the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, water is life. You obviously can't have life without water. It is extremely necessary. Liberty, by our founding fathers, was the right to self-governance. And restricting our use and telling us what we can and can't do with our water is restricting my personal liberty and the liberty of other well owners. And by taking this away, you're taking away my pursuit of happiness for my dream, for my small little hobby farm, and to be self-sufficient. And where else? And so if we restrict these uses for whatever reason, a lot of us are presuming that it's to allow for more development. What happens when there's so much more development and we end up in places like southern Nevada and the drought persists for an extremely long time and then nobody can have water? That can be an extremely large problem, I feel. And I want to leave off with a quote from a founding father, Daniel Webster, that states, "Good intentions will always be pleaded for every assumption of authority. It is hardly too strong to say that the Constitution was made to guard the people against the dangers of good intentions. There are men in all ages who mean to govern well, but they mean to govern. They promise to be good masters, but they mean to be masters." And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, sir. Take a couple more down there.
Yes, my name is Gary Garrison. I have three properties in this state. I originally came from Illinois, and when I was in Illinois, my property was changed by the state from agriculture to residential. Then they came in, forced me to run hundreds of feet of pipe at my cost, saying that my property value would increase, which it didn't. It decreased. So I decided to sell. I move out here. I've opened two businesses, which I had to close within the last 2 years because of the encroachment of government. People are out of work because of that. Now I'm having to look at this situation, and the property values that I own will go down. And I'm to the point where I'm about ready to move to Texas. I got property down there. It seems like I get chased out everywhere I'm at because of the encroachment of government. This is going to hurt people tremendously. And right now, we need jobs. Yes, that's true. But we also have people that barely survive, and they can't afford another tax burden upon them. And that's exactly what this is going to be. Now, you can say, and I understand, that there are certain areas that need to be looked at. I understand that. But what happens when we get a better water table? Are you going to shut these meters off? I don't think so. You're going to have a tax base that you're just going to keep, and the costs are just going to rise. The people are in trouble in this state. They need help, not another pressure upon them. And that's what I have to say. Thank you very much to the committee. I just hope you really consider what I had to say.
Thank you, sir. We'll do one more, and then we're coming back up here to the 4100.
Hello, my name is Dr. Rebecca Barrington. I reside in Silver Springs. I'm retired. I did not plan to speak today, but I would like to respond to something Mr. Ford said earlier about there was sufficient notice for these meetings. I vehemently disagree. ELCO had no idea whatsoever that these meetings had occurred anywhere in the state, much less two in Las Vegas, one in Winnemucca, this one today, and one in Dyer with a population of 279. That I do not deem fair notice. And I'm a little disturbed with some of the language from some of the people coming up to speak with you today who use the terms allow, if you allow us to do this, permit us to do this. It is an appurtenance to my land. I own it. It's mine. You can't have it. Castle Doctrine, Second Amendment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, we're going to come up, once I give the lady in blue, you were first in line. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Doug Frenton. I am a business owner in Silver Springs as well as a member of the Nevada Wells Cooperative. I'm in agreement with just about everything everyone has to say. However, as you are looking for suggestions or solutions, I would like to say that if you want to go after water rights, why don't you go after the water rights, such as in Churchill Basin 102, that are in questionable ownership? I do apologize. I had documentation, but it is due to technical difficulties. My printer broke. They won't be finished printing until Monday. There are 2 to 3 PUC dockets that prove questionable water rights by developers in Churchill Basin, as well as the questionable sale of the Comstock mining purchase just a few days ago of an extreme amount of water rights. These water rights are senior rights. If the committee is interested, the complete documentation can be delivered to them on Monday.
That would be fine.
I left a card with my name, phone number, with the secretary. If, as I said, the subcommittee here wishes to look at every possible facet to this problem or issue, then give me a call. I will be more than happy to deliver all this documentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you hear me down there in 31? 37.
Yes, good morning. For the record, Fred Bolt.
I want you to hold.
A few alternatives that I haven't heard mentioned already. First, the subject of golf courses. And the question is, should artificial lakes, expansive fairways, and greens be part of a desert landscape? And that applies to the whole state, not just any one part of it. South Australia contains the Opalfield Golf Club without a blade of grass. The fairways are sand, and the greens are oiled sand mixed with iron ore. Build or convert courses appropriately in this state. Shouldn't there be a statewide ban on ornamental lawns for new construction and phased in for existing properties, both public and private? Next, couldn't public parks and other public facilities use artificial lawns, sand, or decomposed granite rather than consume large amounts of water for lawn irrigation? And a big problem that doesn't seem to have been addressed in any of the submitted information from the various organizations and experts, why aren't we placing a time of use on water meters on farmers' wells? In crisscrossing the state by car, I have seen repeated examples in the Fish Springs Valley, along Interstate 80, and along US 50 of farmers irrigating their fields in windy weather and the heat of the day. Why not limit such activity to the hours before 10 a.m. and after 6 p.m., just as many urbanites are supposed to do when they're watering their own yards to minimize the evaporation factor? It does not go back into the soil. Pahrump presents a special situation. If the large number of existing property-specific wells are untenable, what happens when the thousands of undeveloped lot owners seek building permits? Shouldn't Pahrump and or Nye County insist on development of a comprehensive water system for the area and bear the attendant costs locally while capping most of the private wells in the process rather than having the aquifer run dry? When a basin's water is gone, rights really won't matter for anybody. As for the human growth, it continues without any restrictions as the state's water supply vacillates from abnormally dry to severe drought. Since the cost and environmental hurdles of trying to pipe in desalinated water from the Pacific Ocean are virtually impossible to solve, that is not an option. The Colorado River is already overallocated, and other western states do not have excess water for Nevada. New development cannot be approved if it degrades finite water resources. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you hear me now down there? I'd like to shift back up north, but before I do, how many more people to speak in this room that want to give public comment? Okay, I'm just trying to get some kind of handle on the time, because if we stay in public comment until 2 or 3 o'clock, we're not going to get much of the rest of it done. So thank you. Go ahead, ma'am, up here in the blue, up in 4100. Thank you. Please proceed.
Sorry. My name is Donna Julian. I am a real estate licensee in the state of Nevada since the mid-1990s. I'm also a property owner in the central Lyon County area, Stagecoach, an area that is not serviced by the GID that depends on domestic wells. And I have a paralegal degree. And what I am seeing here is that right now domestic well use allows a use of 1,800 gallons per day, which, you know, works out to the 2.02 acre feet, I believe, on an annual basis. And if that was reduced to 0.50 annually, technically that's about 225 feet daily for domestic well users that all have parcels between 1 to 5 acres in size. Now, it's true the meterings annually, and nobody's going to say you can only use 225 acres in the summer, but the curtailment is severe, and we were all encouraged to, you know, by the Cooperative Extension of the state of Nevada, the EPA that wants dust control to, you know, for people to have windbreaks and, you know, grow trees, and we were encouraged to move to these rural areas and enjoy a rural lifestyle. And what this is actually is a taking of the enjoyment and use of property, and water is real property. And to me, that falls under eminent domain. It's true that once water rights are transferred, that's a different matter that's alienable. But the right to a domestic well is not an alienable right. It goes with the land, just like airspace. And when they went ahead and expanded the airport and interfered with the use and the enjoyment of homeowners in the Stead area, eminent domain cases came down on their side. And if this state cannot afford postage stamps to notify the property owners that this is going on, I don't believe they can afford the eminent domain costs that this is going to cost. Even at a federal level, this will be looked at as an eminent domain case. I truly believe that. And I believe that communities do need to come together, and they can all, on a local level, would be ideal with state oversight or input, work on water conservation. And, you know, there's been excellent suggestions here, you know, just like city dwellers can't water certain hours, you know, the same kind of things. And, you know, gray water, which right now gray water is illegal in Lyon County. People do it all the time, but, you know, I mean, there's so much that could be done besides going on the back of the well owners that are only 2.5% of the water use in this state. And it was also what brought out something like 86% of Nevada is not privately owned. So,
thank you. And now, because of the difficulty with the mic and back and forth, we'll go ahead and finish this room. And again, trying to wrap this up so as quickly as we can. But please go ahead, Mr. Lister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bevan Lister for the record. I have some written comments for Nevada Farm Bureau that I will submit to the Secretary. I am Vice President of Nevada Farm Bureau Federation. And I thank you and the committee for taking this topic. Gluttons for punishment, sorry. So to introduce myself a little bit, I, like I said, Vice President for Nevada Farm Bureau Federation. My education is as an engineer in water resource management. I own a farm and ranch by choice, kind of one of those genetic things. And out of necessity, I'm a licensed water well contractor and driller. So I see this issue from many aspects. And with what I do, I travel some. And I've talked to people from every western state. And in talking with those people, I can't tell you how many times I've heard, I wish we had water law like Nevada's. Our water law is and has been the envy of the nation. So, because I speak slow and the time goes fast, I had several thoughts here. Law is not meant to be arbitrary or flexible. Law is a fixed and finite thing. It's necessary to be that way so that there is regulatory certainty and reduced possibility for corruption. Flexibility and discretionary adaptation lead to confusion and possible corruption. So you've got a whole bunch of proposals in front of you. I'll speak very briefly. Conjunctive use is to change that in law is not necessary. The state engineer, I am certain, has all of the expertise to recognize and manage two separate but connected resources. I'd firmly be opposed to the Australian approach in making water share issues. That can be done within a water company. It doesn't require a change to state law. Generally, more laws and more regulations don't solve problems. They just shift them to somewhere else. My request or plea to you would be to repeal all changes to Nevada water law since 1980 and let the prior appropriation doctrine work. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
John Engels, Gardnerville, Nevada. Basically, Nevada is nothing much more than a big sandbox for lizards. I was talking to some old boys in town not long ago who were even senior to me, and they told me a story about when the devil came to Nevada and looked around, and he went back to hell. I'd like to direct a question to the chairman about home rule. Where do we stand on that?
We typically don't do questions back and forth, but we did pass the home rule.
I got a couple minutes left.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm asking you about home rule.
I don't respond to questions from you. I ask you questions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Give your presentation, but but I'll talk to you afterwards. We can't start this back and forth here in public comment. Go ahead, Mr. Turnipseed.
My name is Mike Turnipseed. In a little history, I'm not going to go back to statehood, but my experience with water exceeds most of yours, with the exception of maybe a couple. None of you were in the legislature in 1939, and I wasn't even born yet. But looking back, what they did, they passed a comprehensive water law for groundwater. Everything has to be permitted, industrial, commercial, even livestock for 10 cows, except for the single-family domestic well. That well doesn't get advertised. It's not subject to protest. You don't file proof of completion. You don't file proof of beneficial use. You don't get a certificate. No other parts of the water law apply to domestic wells. 99% of domestic wells also have a septic tank, and so that water in-house use goes right back in the ground. You can drive along Coons Lane, Clearview, East Washer Valley. There aren't many lawns. You don't need a meter to tell when a person is using more than their 2 acre-feet allocation. You can get that off of Google, and the state engineer can do that. The first notion that domestic wells had a protectable interest came from then Assemblyman Jim Gibbons, and we didn't need it. I had opposed that bill, thought I had killed it, but it was attached to a funding bill for CRC, and it became law. But that's politics, and I understand that. Carson City was going to drill a well out here called the Bennett Drive Well. And we said, no, it's going to affect 76 domestic wells. If you want that well approved, you're going to have to hook those people up. And they did. I don't know whether it was free or not, but they did. So we granted the Bennett Drive well. The notion of a priority for domestic wells, when it was drilled, came quite a bit later in law. I had a lady call me when I was state engineer. She had drilled a domestic well from me to you from John Esquaga's irrigation well, and we had been through a series of good years, and he didn't use his irrigation well. It was supplemental to Walker River water. She said, well, my well went dry. I said, where are you? And I plotted out on a map, and she's right within a few hundred feet of John Esquaga's well. She said, does domestic have priority? I said, no. It's whoever was there first. You didn't drill deep enough to begin with. We have a lot of people coming in from California that tell the driller hit water. They hit water at 150 feet, go 5 more feet, and stop. That's not enough. When I was standing here, we tried to get to the counties to issue some kind of notice during the building permit process that they should drill their well deep enough to support drought. The other law that doesn't make sense, this also came, I think, from Assemblyman Gibbons or his wife, that if you apply for a half second foot or more, you have to notify the domestic well owners within 2,500 feet or 1,500 feet. I can't remember what it is.
All right, sir. We love listening to you, but you're done. Thank you.
All right.
Brian Matthews, Dayton, Nevada. I have a well, but I think overall we just seem to be, you know, stepping over dollars to try to pick up the pennies. It seems like the domestic is very low on the water usage. I just, you know, Googled USGS, and it's who uses the most fresh water. This is United States, so obviously we could figure out what it is in Nevada, but thermoelectric, which is probably not an issue here. Irrigation was number two. Public supply, so that which is already in the water system. Industrial, aquaculture, and then you hit domestic, livestock, and mining. Now, somebody mentioned previously that mining was like, say 10% and domestic was 2%. But nonetheless, the reality is that the numbers should play who you're trying to get the water from. It just seems silly to go after the domestic water wells when it's such a small percentage. It just doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. You just got to look at what is the water being used for and then, you know, go after those uses. And as people have said, maybe they can conserve a little bit. I know that, I'll give you an example. There's the state over from us. Facebook is looking to move there, and they said, if we move here, we will need to use every single day up to a city of 30,000 people every single day to do what they do in Facebook. Well, I mean, you know, that just tells you something. There's a lot of water being used in industrial, et cetera, and so forth, and that's okay. I'm big on having industrial, but at the same time, we just have to be wise. We just can't just take it from the domestic well users. It doesn't make any sense. That's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm John Fullenweider. I'm fourth-generation rancher in Nevada, and we've used a lot of water, all right. But I remember over 100 years ago. I remember the story from 100 years ago. And in the 70s, it was surveyed again through my dad's ranch out of Golconda, Nevada, to put an aquifer in above ground, like the California aqueduct, from the Columbia River, so Nevada would have plenty of water. If we'd have done that, we'd have plenty of water, not only from that, but all the irrigation that would have took place would have recharged the ground. Whatever happened to that project is my question.
There was actually plans drafted, but go ahead.
Okay. So that's my theory. Nevada has some water. What about the lake that's the other side, underground lake that's the other side of Fernley? My friend drilled the well for hot water. They went through 1,000 foot before they hit ground again and then into the hot water. So that's all insulated to come out of there now to produce electricity. And what about the largest underground river in the Amargosa Valley? That needs to be tapped into. So we have some solutions for some other water sources. Where the water comes from, I have no idea, and I don't think anybody on the staff here does, where it really comes from. Because I know there's water out in Eureka on the Fish Creek Ranch that one little spring produces over 6,000 gallons a minute. and it's semi-warm, but nobody knows where that type of water comes from. It's the sweetest water I ever drank in my life. Anyway, so I'm just telling you that there is some sources out there for extra water, but we do need to conserve it all right, but we don't need to take our rights away from the little guy. Nevada's in a heap of trouble now. The unemployment rate is so high, people aren't working, and crime is up, and we need to think about the little guy, too. So anyway, that's...
Thank you, sir. And again, we usually don't do this, but if you like Fish Creek water, I'll take you to some good water. That slew water doesn't impress me. Thank you.
Chairman.
I've never tasted any better water.
For the record, Ed James with the Carson Water Subconservancy District, and several of my board members are county commissioners in this watershed, and I will let you know that they have also been inundated with a lot of phone calls, emails, and, of course, and that ends up, I get a lot of phone calls and emails. They are very concerned about this limitation and metering on that, and I've had to express to them that it is not my understanding that the state is anticipating trying to meter all domestic wells or take away. It's just one of the tools being proposed. I think it's important to understand, you know, we talk about a lot of times of, you know, whiskey's for drinking, water's for fighting, but I think a better statement for this group would be, you will know the true value of your water when your well goes dry. And that is what we're trying to avoid here. In the Carson watershed, we are generally in very good shape water-wise. There are some issues we have, but if we don't deal with those issues in the future, they will become crisis. And so that's some of the things that I was trying to tell my board and I hopefully to the other people around here is that we need to have tools. The state engineer needs tools. Every area in our watershed is different and we'll need a different solution to it. But we're going to have to start that dialogue. We need to start talking about these issues today. So in 20 years from now, because it's not going to go away, but if we don't talk about it today, in 20 years from now, we will have a bigger room with bigger issues and bigger concerns. So we are willing to work, and I think it's important hand-in-hand with the state engineer and others to ensure that we have a water supply for our future generations. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Go ahead. And again, we're going to try and wrap this room up so as quickly as we can because the mic situation, and we'll have to go to the others. So please get in line, and let's see if we can get this wrapped up. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairman Gokce, members of the committee. I'm Lina Tanner. I'm an attorney in Reno. I also happen to own a little over an acre and a half in the Sierra Manor subdivision in south of town, and I own a well that helps to water a lovely row of 60-year-old cottonwood trees that are also stressed by drought. I haven't participated in the previous meetings that you've had, so I'm probably know enough to be dangerous. I'm going to confine my comments specifically to item two and the term curtailment. I have a suggestion, and if you've addressed it before, my apologies, but I look through NRS chapters 533 and 534 and the applicable regulations, and I don't see a legislative definition of the term curtailment. And so I would presume then that the common definition of the term curtailment would apply, which is essentially to cut short, to abridge, to reduce, or to diminish. And I hope that if the issue of curtailment of existing domestic wells does become part of a subject of a BDR, that you consider a definition of curtailment that wouldn't be a complete ban on outdoor use during the curtailment period, but rather reductions, much in line with how, in my experience, Truckee Meadows Water Authority deals with watering during a drought as to limitations of particular days of the week and times of day. And I think that type of approach would balance the needs of protecting the water resources for all, but at the same time protecting the significant property values of homeowners such as I who have these larger properties that use our wells to essentially keep that value up and preserve that character of our suburban farm neighborhoods and obviously the people also in this room. I think that would be something to explore, and I thank you for addressing this important issue here before you. I know it's very difficult.
Thank you, Lana. Go ahead, ma'am.
For the record, my name is Donna Falk. I'm a resident of Silver Springs.
I'm going to bring up something that I haven't heard yet. I've heard everybody talk about growing vegetables and livestock and things like that for the restriction on indoor use only. The thought may also be that, you know, living out in Silver Springs, anybody who's been out there realizes it is not the richest area in the state. A lot of the people who grow their own vegetables out there, who raise livestock, do so because that is the only way they can afford to eat. So that is definitely something that needs to be taken into consideration. It's not about lawns. It's not about trees. It's about people eating. That's pretty much all I have to say that nobody else hasn't.
Thank you, ma'am. We appreciate that. Go ahead, ma'am.
My name is Ruth Iverson. I live in Smith Valley. I own 20 acres. I moved here 5 years ago. We had numerous meetings with the state water engineer regarding curtailment of water. My understanding is that there was a state engineer order to have curtailment for agricultural use of water in the event that the on April 1st there would be a certain below a certain level of water. And then apparently that was challenged in the courts by the farmers and ranchers, and it was struck down on a legal basis. So my first question is, in view of that, why is it that we are even talking about curtailing domestic water use when it's already been shut down for farmers and ranchers? Now, I also understood at these meetings, when questioned about domestic well water use, the state water engineer stated that domestic well water use was a drop in the bucket, quote unquote, that the vast majority is agricultural land. So I just think that it's being directed to domestic well users who don't use the preponderance of water. There's also the problem that even if there was a mandate to curtail outside water use, I think it'd be very hard to enforce. It might be easier with meters. Also, regarding the Nature Conservancy's proposal of perennial yield, I'm not an expert, but I believe that their proposals may have merit. In Smith Valley, we used to have Artesia Lake, the wildlife management area, used to have water in it. We used to have hot springs. We're having a drying up, and in view of climate change as well, we need to look at the overall restoration of our habitat, but I don't know what that the consequences would be. But we have to have an overall approach, or we're going to have everything dry up. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, ma'am. Just looking through the notes here, my notes, too, so thank you. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Gregory Hafen II. I am the general manager of Prump Utility Company. However, I do not want to speak on behalf of the utility. I'd like to speak as a resident of the state of Nevada and a utility customer, something that has not been brought up today. Specifically in the Prump Basin, if all domestic wells use their full 2 acre feet, they would use 110% of the perennial yield. It is an issue that needs to be addressed. It's 110%, it's not 2%. Furthermore, as I stated, I am a utility customer. Nobody's mentioned that. And if you allow the domestic wells to use 110%, my senior rights that are attached to my house in the utility district will have zero. We'll have no water whatsoever. I'll be evicted from my house. And I think that it's time that we all come together as a community and as a state and work to solve this problem rather than pointing the finger and say, no, I'm going to keep all mine and you give up all yours. We all have to take a cut. We all have to do our part to conserve water. And I do thank you for the opportunity to speak on this very emotional issue.
Thank you, Greg. Go ahead, ma'am.
Hello, my name is Catherine Ann Murders. I reside in Washoe Valley, and I have a domestic well. And I want to thank the committee for their careful attention. It's been a long morning, and you guys have hung in well. One of the things that, to not reiterate everything that has already been brought up, I'd like to mention a particular concern with fire, because the defensible space that is provided by landscaping is one of the things that helps keep everybody more safe. But in addition to that, if outside water use is curtailed, we wouldn't be able even to water down the roof if a neighborhood fire was in place. We wouldn't be able to do any protection, and I then foresee a lot of insurance rates going up because we wouldn't even be able to have an appropriate fire protection in place. I think that's the major point I wanted to make up because everybody else has covered things quite well. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. We appreciate it. Ms. Buchanan.
Yes, my name is Vicki Buchanan. I'm a senior water right holder in Diamond Valley. I'm a fully senior irrigation water right holder. My parents were original desert land entry filers there. And I'm also a member of the Diamond Valley Groundwater Management Advisory Board, and we've been trying to find a solution to our problem in Diamond Valley to keep as many people in business and keep the viability of our community in a critical management area. When we were designated a critical management area, that gives us 10 years to develop a groundwater management plan that has to be signed off by the state engineer. And if we don't meet that, then he will curtail by priority. And if he does that, 75% of the pivots, the irrigation pivots in our valley, will cease to exist. And so we've been working, but in order to come up with this groundwater management plan, we need some flexibility in the state law to guarantee us as water right holders that if our plan doesn't work and we do have to revert back to state law as it is, that we will not be penalized like through the use it or lose it law. If we don't pump our water to conserve it and it does go away, you know, we don't want to lose our water rights in the interim. And one of the things that we're looking at in our plan, domestic use is only about 1% of our use in our valley. So we're going to, as irrigation users, we are going to planning on metering ourselves, but we're planning on making the domestic water right holders exempt from being metered. We do plan on trying to educate on how much an acre foot of water is and, you know, to try to conserve in every way that we can. But for all the efforts that we've been making, if some of these legislative changes can't be made, it's going to basically destroy our valley. And what's going to solve the problems for Diamond Valley is not going to solve the problems for Pahrump. And that's where we're proposing that each individual basin be allowed to come up with its own program that fits its needs and the people of its community. So, thank you for your time, Pete.
Thank you, ma'am. Go ahead, sir. I'm going to just take a quick break. It's come to my attention there are approximately seven other people in the other overflow rooms to testify that want to do public comment. So if they could work their way up here, I think we could probably dig up seven chairs for them, and then we'll just finish it up from right here. And I've got to go down to Las Vegas at some point for another quick wrap-up. But, again, we appreciate your brevity, and let's keep going ahead. Go ahead, sir.
Hello. I thank you, Chairman Gogachia and committee for taking time and attention this morning. All these people appreciate it very much. My name is John Hatter. I'm the director of Great Basin Resource Watch. We're a public interest nonprofit in Nevada, and we work with communities to protect their land, air, and water from extractive industries. This comments are on behalf of Great Basin Resource Watch and the Progressive Leadership Alliance of Nevada. So I'm going to shift gears on you a little bit. This is a slightly different topic than what we have been talking about. And I'm going to focus on mining-related activities. Open pit mining, when open pit mining occurs below the water table, the pit develops once the mining is completed. It's called a pit lake. It develops afterwards. The water in these pit lakes is groundwater seeping into the open pit. It's like when you go to the beach, dig a hole in the sand, water fills in. It is common that the groundwater prior to entering the pit was of higher quality than once it's in the pit lake. There's often a degradation that occurs as a result. So in our view, this is groundwater degradation and should be a violation of state law. Pit lakes are not reclaimed, and the water has no assigned beneficial use in general. The mining companies construct a fence around the pit lakes and try to prevent human exclusion forever. Okay, this probably won't happen, but nevertheless, that's the plan. This is a waste of Nevada's water. precious water. And it will amount to about 1.1 million acre feet in the Humboldt River Basin if you look at the seven largest pit lakes that will develop over time in that area. Since the source of this water is groundwater, I kind of see this as violating NRS 534.020, which states that is the intention of the legislature by this chapter to prevent the wasting of groundwaters and the pollution and contamination thereof. Now, this is something that the mining companies are responsible for. In addition, water will evaporate from these pit lakes and resulting in a permanent removal of groundwater from the basin, which is often not accounted for. For the future pit lakes in the Humboldt River Basin, we are talking about 10,000 acre feet per year. So there needs to be a post-mining productive use of pit lakes, a beneficial use assigned to the water, preventing the wasting of Nevada's water. In addition, in accounting for the evaporative losses from pit lakes, there needs to be a fully understood water budget, and we think the mining company should be applying for water permits related to the evaporated losses as well. I see I'm running close on time, so let me just mention that there is a study that we presented that we gave to the committee members that was done by Dr. Tom Myers regarding water losses from the Humboldt River Basin as a result of the refilling of the Lone Tree mine pit, which is an 8% deficit just as a result of that pit alone, and there's going to be six more huge ones in the Humboldt River Basin to come. Thank you very much for your time, and I'll submit the rest of our comments.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We'll take the gentleman on the end, and then I'm going to go to Las Vegas, kind of clean it up, make sure we're done there, and then we will finish the last of the public comment again to the other rooms, 37 and 38. Again, you'll have to come to 4100 to testify just so we can get it wrapped up. So go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Senator Gokachia and members of the panel. My name is Kelvin Buchanan, and I really appreciate the time you're putting in this morning. I won't take my full allocation because I know you're short on time. Essentially, I represent a client with Water Rights in Mineral County, and we're drilling or will be drilling a 1,300-foot well in Mineral County. So we would object to, under basin management rule number six or suggestion number six from Southern Nevada Water Authority requesting drafting of a bill to provide that metering is required on all users in the state because that's ambiguous and doesn't differentiate between domestic and commercial. Additionally, on a personal basis, I will just say I totally agree with every comment that the property owner that lived at 8600 Lakeside Drive made this morning. I believe she was the third or fourth person in testimony. Secondly, I didn't realize I'd be sitting beside Great Basin Mine Watch, but I'm a geological engineer from Reno, Nevada. I have known Tom Myers, Dr. Tom Myers, for 25 years, and I don't see what in the world when we're drilling or when we're dealing with domestic wells why we need to be talking about open pit mining in the central state of Nevada. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, sir. All right, I'm going to go get back to Las Vegas. Is there anyone in Las Vegas that wishes to make public comment?
Chairman, Bob Koch here. There's nobody else left that wishes to speak right now, and we just wanted to thank you, though, for making this teleconference down in Vegas.
All right, thank you, Bob. All right, we'll come back to 4100 and see if we can wrap the public comment up here. Thank you, Mr. Tibbetts.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jake Tibbetts, Eureka County Natural Resource Manager. For the record, just wanted to note to the subcommittee that there's at least two or three items in your work session document that Eureka County and working with the Diamond Valley Groundwater Management Plan Advisory Board brought forward for your consideration. And specifically, we just point your attention to our white paper on adaptive management and mitigation for number 7. The number 15 and 16 dealing with critical management areas and groundwater management plans, I just want to, again, make it clear that currently the only critical management area in the state of Nevada is Diamond Valley. And here today with me is the bulk of our groundwater management plan advisory board, nearly all of the members. There's a couple that aren't here. It's made up of two fully senior groundwater rights holders, a couple with mixed that have some senior and some junior, a mining representative that has groundwater rights in Diamond Valley, as well as a general ranching representative that represents the ranching interests. Most of them are here today. Myself working with them have developed some potential legislative language that we did submit to you, that you have in front of you. We're available when that item comes up. We would like to have some input at that process. And again, I want to point out that irrigators and water rights holders that would be affected by the groundwater management plan in Diamond Valley are here, and they're willing to provide any clarifications that you'd so see fit. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. My name is Dale Smith. I'm from Washoe Valley. I am a domestic well owner, and most of what has been touched on today were things I wanted to talk about. I support what has been said completely, so I'm going to touch on things that haven't been. To let you know, the underground hydrology of each aquifer differs, and mine has actually risen 9 feet in the last 11 years, according to the Washoe Valley engineer. Climatology. Nobody's talked about that when you talk about your having a yard, having trees and shrubbery outside. But I can tell you, right here, just in the legislature and next door at the Capitol building, when you wind up walking outside, you're going to find that it's 10 to 15 degrees cooler when you're walking around those buildings in the middle of summer than it is out at the airport here in Carson City. The reason why is through evapotranspiration and a localized climate modification based on the fact that you are enjoying having shrubbery and gardening, trees. And that's what we would like to have as residents. You asked for some solutions. It's been discussed about bringing water in from the Columbia River, and I completely support that. I wound up as a geographer in college writing a report about interbasin water transfer, and I went to school in Colorado. Now, we've got a national election coming up, and both candidates have discussed the fact that they want to do something that deals with infrastructure. If they want to design and build an interbasin water transfer system that looks like our interstate highway system, that would be a good start. And that's how you wind up getting the water from Louisiana here to Nevada. And it may take 30 years, but it's something that's a start for the entire nation. I can also tell you, just as a note, if you were to wind up metering my well and I operate it at risk, you're going to have somebody come out and read it. That means that it's going to be mandated by the state or the county. That requires an easement to get to my property based on the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. Based on that, we're going to wind up, each county is going to wind up losing residential tax revenue because everybody's property is going to wind up being diminished in area. I want to thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, sir. Please go ahead, sir.
My name is Patrick Moriarty. I'm from a little country called Ireland. I'm sure you heard of it. We do have a lot of water there. But having said that, the city of Dublin is now running out of water in Ireland, of all places. They're having to ship water in, pipe it in from the Shannon River, which is farther away than the Liffey River. Do you all like your Guinness, right? Don't worry, we're not going to go dry. So I have a couple of things. Jim and the young cowboy, the 100-year-old cowboy, stole my thunder. Last year, a friend of mine and myself, we sent registered letters to Governor Brown in California and Governor Brown in Oregon saying the same thing, the Columbia River. Billions of gallons of water flow into the Pacific every day. They only need to build a 400-mile pipeline down to Sacramento and flood California. They will drown California with 1% of that water. Here in Nevada, I told our governor last year out in Washoe Valley, where he was standing in the dry sand, where there should have been water, we can tap the Snake River at the southwest corner of Idaho and bring it down here to Reno. We can flood Nevada with the Snake River, okay? If we can build a 2,000-mile oil pipeline from Canada to Houston, and we can build a 300-mile water pipeline, this is ridiculous. The last thing I'm going to say is our state engineer needs to go to Israel. They have no water. yet they have one of the most important and wonderful agricultural systems in the world over there. He needs to go over there and check it out. It is phenomenal. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Hafen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A disclosure I want to make is that I farmed in Front Valley since 1951 up until about 5 or 6 years ago. Anyway, that's a lot of time. So I can tell you about how things happen in Pahrump Valley. Now, I keep hearing the theme that we shouldn't be required to give up our water rights to developers. I've never heard of that. Developers can't take water rights. They can't do it. Well, anyway, domestic wells, as I understand it, don't carry a water right. They carry a use right, and so you can't buy or sell that water right. It's not something you can commodity you can sell. But I want you to know that in Pahrump Valley, we're not using all of our water in spite of what you hear. There's 20,000 acre feet, according to state engineer, being recharged into Pahrump Valley. Now, there's 60,000 acre feet of appropriated water, and there's 22,000 acre feet that is usable by 11,000 domestic wells, and we're going to have a crisis one day. But today, we have domestic wells that the water level is dropping, but that's because there's 400 domestic wells in a mile in some of those areas out there. It's just a matter of overpumping, not recharging fast enough, but we're still only using 14,000, according to the state, 14,000 acre feet of water in Pahrump today. 20,000 acre feet being recharged. Do the math. 4,000 acre feet of that 14,000 is still used by agriculture to protect water rights, among other things. And so there's only half of our available water being used by commercial and residential use. So developers today are giving up in order to bring back the appropriated water closer to the supply. They're giving up general, I'm using general figures, whenever a dedication is made to put water by a utility on a lot or in a subdivision, every lot is dedicated about three times as much water as they're going to use. That's how that the developers and a lot of the folks down there are working with the state engineer to bring back the over-dedication more to use. And I am a developer. I didn't mean to omit that. But I developed, I was farmed, and then I developed subdivision land. Artesia is one of ours. Artesia's third acre lots, and they use about 280 gallons a day, average use throughout that subdivision. That's less than a third of an acre foot. So, okay, thank you.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Senator Goygochea and members of this committee, I've had the pleasure of speaking in front of you, and thank you so much for being here for us again. I live in Washoe County, lifelong resident of Nevada, and I've been on three different domestic wells. And I know just in Washoe County that Washoe County requires every subdivider or parcel split person to turn over the water required 2.02 acre feet for each unit, however big it is. If it's 5 acre or 2.5 acre, those are then subsequently turned over to the state engineer. I don't know what Nice County's problem is. I don't know if they haven't done that, but I know in Washoe County, in Washoe Valley, when the water, they felt it was becoming over-appropriated, the state water engineer required the Washoe County people to allow only 5 acre subdivision, not 1 or 2.5 like we do have out there, or we did have on the maps. But anything new has to be 5 acres. So I think the solution's already there. I'm going to say something rather draconian. I think if there are water rights out there in an over-appropriated basin that aren't being used, then the people who have those water rights should be paid fair market value, and those should be bought up and banked by the state water engineer. We would have no more problems if the state water engineer, if the state legislature, would appropriate that money for the state water engineer to have that and do that, or whatever mechanism, the county buy them up, finance the county. Then we wouldn't have overgrowth and over usage of the water in the outlying areas. And since I've heard, and I didn't know, we only use 2.5% of the water in the state, I think that's a viable solution. If Washoe County is becoming over used of the water that's been appropriated in Washoe County, that's a solution. And you're not hurting anybody if you buy up water rights at fair market value. And I don't know what they are now, but when I had to buy some, they were like $15,000 an acre foot. So, you know, there's a price to it, but you would then have a solution to the over-appropriation of water. And I don't know why I haven't had the privilege of going to your other meetings, and I don't know why I didn't hear that solution in here today. But that would work. And you don't need to put a meter on to allow me to have half an acre foot. I have extensive landscaping, and I had to buy water rights, and I have water rights on my current domestic well. But my neighbors don't, and we're all invested in an area. My taxes are over $6,000 a year, and you would immediately ruin the property value that I have if my yard was dead. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Go ahead, sir.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Gil Cerruti, and I'd like to state for the record the following items. Presently, the state has a record of all the wells that have been drilled. It's a vast database. I suggest that for the benefit of the committee and for all of us here, that the state send out a query to all the known well owners. And in that query, the very first thing they should get would be the email address so they can stay in contact with them as well as everybody that's here and let them know what's happening relative to this committee's progress. Second of all, in that query, they can gather the following information, which can be statistically used to identify the low-hanging acre feet. First, how many wells are on the property? For each well answer, is it closed, abandoned, or active? Does the well service a residence, a business, public or private? Is it a small parcel, 1 acre, 1 to 5 acres, 5 to 10 acres, or larger? How many months of the year is the property occupied and the well water used? Is the property serviced by water sources other than the well, such as a river, a spring, or municipal water? Are there well water storage tanks or well water to hot tubs, swimming pools, waterfalls, ponds on the property? Is the primary discharge to municipal sewer or just to the ground? Is the water reclaimed, if that's known? What is the primary purpose of the well water? Commercial crops, farming, ranching, mining, business activities, recreation such as golf or snow blowing, landscaping or domestic consumption? State the percentages. Is the well water used for emergency services, such as air tanker, fire department, etc.? It seems to me that acquiring and analyzing the data, you would get an essential information prior to a legislative recommendation. This can be done inexpensively with existing resources. The approach was used previously in the Nevada State Underground Storage Tank Program, and we're able to identify the priorities and how to approach them. So if you can't find somebody to do it, give me a computer and a desk and I'll do it.
Be careful, we might take you up on that. Go ahead, sir.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Charles Lumen. I'm a resident of Carson City, have lived in Nevada for 43 years, and I'm a retired peace officer. And I'm going to bring up a point that I think that you people need to take into consideration to protect us, your people. That is, when I see them dropping the level down to a half an acre, that is right at a point where if you use above a half an acre, you can start being fined. How much the fine is going to be, we don't know. But just like years ago, we started seeing administrative assessment fees for tickets. And they said, oh, it's no big deal. But we used to joke and say that three more tickets, my wife gets a toaster. Well, I just really believe that the way this thing is going, they don't care about how much water you use. What they're looking forward to is you exceeding the amount of water that you use, and then they get to generate revenue from the fines. What are you going to do with that money? Then you can take that money and send it to the Pahrump or the more depressed areas and use that money to fix them. So I don't know a lot, but it just seems to me that that may be an underlying area that y'all need to watch for and protect us from. The water usage that we're going to need to use needs to be high enough that we can maintain our lifestyle, that we can have our trees, that we can have a little patch of grass, and if some people have horses, naturally, water the horses. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead, ma'am.
Good afternoon, I guess.
I'm afraid we are in afternoon, yes.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Valita McMichael, and I live in southern Douglas County. I'm about 5 miles from a community called TRE and 5 miles from the post office in Wellington, which is in another county. So I'm at the edge, if, so to speak. When my husband and I bought the property, there was an existing house on it. There were only two houses for miles, and I mean literally miles. That's how far out we were. Over the years, and I've been here 25 years, I've been on the property for 25 years, we did an add-on to the existing house when my husband retired, and we decided to do that instead of developing on the 40 acres that was contiguous to it. When we went to put in the new well, because the old well was not sufficient, it hadn't been for the whole time I lived there. So we put in a new well, and he had to go 680 feet down. Our elevation is 5,200 feet. That may have something to do with why we had to go so deep. And when I said that in Douglas County to the planning department, they were shocked, because most people only go like 320 feet or 150 feet, you know. They want shallow wells. They don't want deep wells. That's been spoken about today, that communities should tell the people, go as deep as you could afford to go to find water. It's a great well. I don't want it metered. I have to pay a warranty insurance premium on it. I have to pay insurance on it, just like I do the house and the other buildings on the property. I have to pay the maintenance on it as far as anything computerized, because the warranty company won't cover computers. So if a pipe breaks in the winter or something freezes up and pops, that's my responsibility. Putting in the well, I was told, that's your responsibility. We don't have municipal water out there. Putting in a septic tank, that's your responsibility. I've done my responsibility. I'd like to see the law do its responsibility and keep the promises that were made to my husband and I 25 years ago when we became residents of Nevada. It's a taking. It really is. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Come back down to the end. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, my name is Richard Evans. I live out in Fish Springs. I have 5 acres, and we do have a domestic well. And everything's been pretty well said already. But my question is, how did they come up with a half acre? That's 75% water being taken away. Now, in California, they're only asking for 25%, and they're doing fine, basically, where I was. And it was 25%. You're taking 75%. What's wrong with 25 or 50%? But 75% people, and then you don't want anybody to water outside, everything's going to die. Everything's been said about this. I have nothing else to say except that, you know, California's getting by with 25%. Why are you folks asking for 75%? I think it's kind of ludicrous. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Conley.
Hi. My name is Russell Conley, and I'm speaking specifically to items 15 and 16 of the work session document. I'm an irrigator in Diamond Valley, which is Basin 153, and my family's water rights have been effective for about 55 years. Even though they have been in effect for this long, they're still considered junior, and that if water rights are curtailed in order to bring the basin into balance with perennial recharge, ours would be amongst those curtailed. The reason I tell you this is to emphasize that the basin has been overdrafted for a very long period of time. Our local climate enables us to produce very high-quality hay and forage, and irrigators have had a chance to make a decent living there. We all know about the boom and bust cycles of mining and the economic impacts it has on the communities associated with it. Our historic mining town of Eureka has benefited from the irrigation that has taken place in Diamond Valley and has enjoyed the stability that has brought to the local economy. I support items 15 and 16 because I believe that a good groundwater management plan will help us keep as much agriculture in place as possible while bringing the basin into balance with perennial recharge. A good groundwater management plan will incentivize groundwater users to conserve water and get the most out of every drop. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead, Mr. Burnham.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Bob Burnham, and I also am a farmer in Diamond Valley and vice chairman of the advisory committee that is developing a groundwater management plan. Our water challenges in Diamond Valley relate to agricultural use, not domestic. More than a half century ago, the state severely overappropriated our valley. I'm here today to support legislation facilitating the development of a groundwater management plan exclusive to Diamond Valley. We're now in the process of creating that groundwater management plan for the purpose of conserving and protecting agricultural water without affecting existing domestic use. We're seeking the flexibility to save our community, our economy, our way of life, and our life's savings. We are a cornerstone of the Eureka economy. We do not seek to affect water policy or use in other areas of the state. We are, however, an opportunity for Nevada to explore what can be done, what is possible to preserve the Nevada way of life. We are trying to come up with a flexible, innovative, local solution that allows us to address our situation without affecting other parts of the state. We ask that you give us the tools to address our ongoing challenges. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Please go ahead, ma'am.
My name is Kara Strasser, and I live here in Carson. And I was born and raised in Silver Springs when my dad homesteaded out there 50 years ago. And I grew up here, graduated Carson High, left for 20 years in the military, and never wanted to live anywhere else. This is home. We came back. We bought a property with a well because I grew up on well water and nothing tastes like it. And we bought the property we did so my kids could have a home. They moved a lot. We wanted a home where they could have animals. They're in 4-H. And we grow a garden. I can, all that kind of stuff. So I wanted them to have that. If you take away my right to water, which is a right that's given to me, then I can't have that. My kids can't have their animals. We can't have the 4-H animals. We can't do anything like that. Nevada, I've lived a lot of places all over the world. Many of them take the rights away from the people without even giving them opportunity to speak. I don't want that in Nevada. That's why I came back to Nevada, because
to me, Nevada is freedom. It gave me what I want. They talk about, oh, well, it's only in certain areas we want a meter or certain areas we want to do this. But as I found, as I've grown up, once you start it in one area, they go, oh, well, this looks like a pretty good plan, so let's do it in this one because we can get from there too. And then from here, and it spreads. And once it's out there, you can't take it back. So I'm afraid if it starts in one area, it'll spread, and then it'll never go away. I want my kids to have the life that I had growing up now that I'm back home and can give it to them. So I don't think that there should be metering. I don't think there should be any of that. We bought the property for that reason.
Thank you, ma'am. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for your attention. My name is Victoria Edmondson. I live in Cold Springs, which is north of Reno. It's a closed basin. And I have a domestic well on my acre and a third property. I am an RN, so my interests are in health, safety, and quality of life for people. I purposely bought my acre and a third property on a well because it was zoned so that I could grow crops and provide people in that area. You've all heard buy local. Okay, well, that's going to stop if I cannot irrigate. Up until the past year, couple years, there's been health issues. I've had a small market stand and basically given away produce to the elderly and the young struggling families. We do have hunger in Cold Springs. We just recently had up there a little community fair, and there were some people that have gardens that were just basically sharing their bounty. And there's a lot of us up there that are trying to do that. So I do not want to see my allotment curtailed, because then I won't be able to do what brings me joy, which is helping people. The other thing that is my understanding, after talking to the developer of Stonegate this past week, it's a development that they're trying to put in up there right behind Bordertown. My understanding after speaking with that gentleman is that it is against the law in the state of Nevada to have, like, reclaimed water be part of a development. And I'm sorry, I don't know any details about that because I just talked to this gentleman the other day. But it seems like that's kind of a basic thing that should be going on right now, is that any development that does go in should be mandated to have water reclamation as part of its plan. So he said it might take the legislature 5 years to solve that problem. I would encourage you to not wait 5 years. They've planned a lot of growth in the North Valleys. It's a good opportunity to save the water that's there. Make them, mandate them to have reclamation. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My name's Deborah Goodwill, and I live in Dayton, Nevada. Excuse me, I'm not a speaker. We lost our well in 2013, and we had quite a bit of water when we bought it. Prior to that, or in 2013, we lost another well on that street, and we're in the Story County area. We live on an acre and a third. We had to dig another 150 feet down, so we paid for all of that. Plus, our water wasn't up to standards, so we run an RO as well, which we pay for every month. We conserve our water to the point of saving our shower water and putting it in our washer to do our wash. So, you know, people that have these wells, we are aware of what's going on. And to take the right away from us is just not right. And then we've lost a couple of wells, and people have gone pretty low on our block, and the state allowed somebody to build two wells at the end of our street. Again, we need to stop allowing when we know there's a problem in the area. We have the USGS, and we have voluntarily allowed them to check our wells because I was up in the Story County area. Also, the other thing is that we just built this huge development on the USA Parkway, which is part of our Story County, and their water's coming out of the Truckee, and they have the surface water rights. I asked then, how much are you pumping out of that, and nobody could tell us. So seriously, I think this big development that we're doing in Nevada, and I moved to Nevada to get away from big development, and what I'm seeing just down here in Carson City, and I may be wrong here, I was told because they didn't have enough money to finish the street that they're doing, that they're going to ask the people to pay more taxes. It's not right to ask us to meter our wells. And again, I agree with what I've been hearing since I got here this morning, that each basin, each area of the state needs to work on their water stuff. I know Story County is working on theirs. I was at their commissioner meeting. I'm here now sitting at the legislature, which I never thought I would have to do in the state of Nevada. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Please go ahead, sir.
It's like we're almost done. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman.
I'm liking the empty chairs. I just hope they stay that way. Okay.
You're very patient. For the record, Bob Clifford from Fallon. Just a couple thoughts as you consider solutions. This is a very difficult problem, obviously. For one thing, I'm strongly opposed to giving any more power to any unelected, unaccountable bureaucrat. We've seen what that's done in the BLM and other areas, and doing that at the state level I think would be the wrong solution. On this curtailment or, you know, cutting off water for outside use, I think banning people from growing food or raising animals kind of breaches a fundamental right. I think that's going down to strong. They ought to have the right to take fewer showers so they can feed their animals if that's what it came down to. You shouldn't have arbitrary rules like that have that kind of an effect. And if this curtailment were to take effect and the property values cratered, I think there's a lot of county commissioners will be pulling their hair out because tax revenues will go right down with it. And that's going to just cause a myriad of problems in the state. You probably already figured that out. I oppose all statewide actions just because, you know, the local areas should deal with it. And if you're going to do something like meters that had a really high cost, doing that statewide when it's not needed in 80% of the state is, you know, that's just, ridiculous. And I noticed when I read through all these materials, there was a lot of law stated and opinions like that the state engineer actually had no authority over domestic wells. They only had rivers and streams. And that type, there's some legal things in here that really need clarification by your counsel. I would like to understand them, but I would think you need to understand them. And I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
My name is Deborah Gibbons. My husband and I have a small business here in Carson City, and we have a domestic well. On July 14th, 2004, we had the waterfall fire up in Kings Canyon and lost 8 homes up there. We, because of the fire, it knocked out our wells, knocked out the electricity. And if it weren't for some of the springs that our neighbors had trapped and had ponds on, we would have had more problems than we did. But we were able to access that water from the ponds that where the springs ran into. What I haven't heard anybody say, and I don't know if maybe we're one of the only ones in Kings Canyon, is we now, even though we are on a domestic well, we do receive a bill from the water's utility district. We were told it was because of the fires and the water that they had to get up there to put the fires out. But we do receive a bill from the utility district, and I'm not sure really how that works. And so it's kind of one of those things, I think, is what the lady stated earlier, is once the door is opened for certain areas that are the areas that are of concern at this point, it opens the door for you to do other things. And what concerns me, too, is no offense or anything, but there are so many attorneys that are in office right now who do know the law and who know how to work the law in their favor, and that scares me, too. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
I'm glad I'm not an attorney. Go ahead, sir.
I haven't heard anybody address zoning. When you take water or limit water usage to a property, carte blanche, one size fits all, you must also take into consideration the zoning of that property. That zoning may allow for certain things to be done there that require more water or less water. So let's look at zoning if you're going to be looking at cookie cutter, cutting of water. Look at the zoning for that property and see what that owner thought and knew he was getting when he got that property. He may be allowed to do row crops. He may be allowed to have grapes. He may be allowed to do certain things. It may be commercial, and he may not be allowed to do any of those things, but have a bathroom for customers. So look at the zoning if you're going to start restricting. The amount that you are restricting it to comes suspicious. And when I say suspicious, it has an ulterior motive, and that is revenue. We know that once you reach that minimum usage, cha-ching, cha-ching, your cash register, not mine, okay, coming from my cash register to yours, and I don't mean you individually, so don't take it personal. Environmental impact study. Is what you're doing is an environmental impact study? It's a reverse environmental impact study. The trees, the lawns, the vegetation. So there needs to be a reverse impact, environmental impact study recommended that you do this before you implement it. And thank you for your time, and I have no
further. Sir, I need your name, please.
My name is Glenn Schaefer, S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R.
Thank you, sir. Okay, you go ahead, sir.
I'm going to let you go with a fairly brief moment of thought. I found out about this not through notification, but primarily through friends, neighbors that to have domestic wells. It was in the paper, and then on a radio program last night brought it to my attention. Anytime our city does anything that requires changing the format or structure in certain zones, they notify us way in advance. I have received no written notification, and maybe that's not the way the state works. I've lived here after serving 2 years during the Vietnam era for our country. Moved to Nevada because I loved it dearly. And it's one of the few places in my life, and I think most of you would agree, that we move away, we travel, we come back, and it's home again. We built in the Kings Canyon area, knowing that we had a well situation available to us up there. We laid out our landscape. If you look towards the mountains, especially towards the west and probably to the east of Carson, and this goes throughout the state, you'll see not only the mountains but the lovely vegetation we have up there. We do raise chickens, not many. We give away most of our produce at this time, but it would strictly or severely handicap the ability to be able to handle our outside sources of water. My wife was nice enough to mention the waterfall fire, and we did that. Actually, that particular source of water saved our homes, specifically because two of our neighbors, one has a pond. And I remember distinctly after sneaking through the water barriers, fire barriers to get up there to my house, that the East Fork Fire District held that one section in one zone because we had access to our water, not because of city water, but because of our pond and the helicopters flying right into it to save our particular structure. And if you look towards the West Canyon, part of the beauty we have in our particular area is the greenery you see towards the mountains. Of course, not in the foothills because they had no way to support that or put those fires out, but we did in our neighborhood. We have paid the stormwater fee every month. even though we don't take from that particular system. So I think it's important that part of, as one of our former speakers mentioned, that freedom of the state of Nevada is important. And one of the things we looked for in this particular area is to be able to exercise that. So I wish you to take that in consideration before passing anything. It would be quite devastating to us as rural homeowners and domestic well users. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Justin Field. I'm from Dayton, Nevada. Public speaking is not my thing. The Declaration of Independence touches on life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Water is necessary for life. How people access said water for responsible, beneficial use should be up to them, not something that is mandated by an entity that is not publicly responsible. It's an affront on our independence and liberty as Americans and citizens of the United States of America. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I believe we finally got there. So, no further public comment. All right. Go ahead, ma'am. Have you got your mic on, ma'am? It's right in the front of the button.
Okay, better?
Yes.
My name is Darlene Branton-Stoa. I have a property in Lyon County, 4.77 acres with a well. I also have a property in Carson City with a well. I believe that morally we have not been adequately notified regarding this issue. We have not had all of the information given to us. I believe that according to the Constitution, this is a violation of our constitutional rights. We as well owners conserve our water. We make sure that we are self-contained and do the best we can to provide our families with the water, the vegetation, the environmental protection, the wind and air quality, because we are providing vegetation so that we can prevent the dust. And we want to make sure that our rights are maintained, that we, in fact, can live the quality of life that we have wanted to live and provided ourselves with by the amount of money that we have put into our property and our wells. My well went dry, and I had to dig 350 feet down at my own expense, plus my filtering expenses. And I am vehemently opposed to this issue. I believe you do not have the right to do this. And rather than spending money for meters, maybe we should spend money for recall. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Any further public comment? Well, seeing none, finally, I think we're going to take a short recess for lunch. What do you think? Can we get by in 30 minutes, gentlemen, ladies? Okay with that? I'll try and be back here at, say, 1:10. And just before the people leave, because some of you might not come back, I want to make sure, I think it's missing a lot of people, especially the lady that just spoke. This committee does, again, would only be a recommendation. It'll come back to the full legislature next spring. I mean, there's nothing we put in place. I don't think a lot of people understand that. We're dealing with recommendations from outside sources, approximately 20 of them. This committee will delve through, work on those, determine which ones we feel have merit. And again, at that point, it goes to the legislature in 120 days next spring. So if you don't think you were adequately noticed, it's because we ain't doing anything. I'm sorry, folks. We're just struggling to get through the issues, and I want you to understand that. Thank you. We'll be back in at 1:10.